The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
That was a good win by our team today here. Those players did a good job. You know, Buffalo competed hard, had a lot of energy, a lot of excitement in the stadium. And you know, our guys did a good job.
Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Eric Scalavino. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Orton drops back, fires down the middle, picked off. Ball is intercepted by Jamie Collins. Shotgun snap to Orton. Hit the ball by Chandler Jones, who had the sack and the recovery.
Had some big plays on defense, turnovers. So, again, it was a good team win. A lot of people contributed.
Set up by the Collins interception. A first and goal to go out of the eye. Devlin the fullback with Ridley the tailback. Play fake by Bradley. Quick hitter to the end zone. A catch made. Right corner. Touchdown. Tim Wright.
It was awesome. It was fun to be out there. Great team win. A lot of guys made a lot of big plays. So, that's what we're going to need going forward. It's still early in the year, but great to come and get a tough road win. We knew it was going to be 60 minutes. Guys played their butts off.
Four receivers in the pattern. Play fake by Brady. Steps up. Lost the throw deep down the left side. He's looking for Timms. He reaches out. He makes the catch. Tumbling into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Gerard Mayo brought him down. Speaking of Gerard Mayo, he is down on the turf.
And he's holding his right knee.
Patriots leading tackler coming in.
Just slammed his helmet. This doesn't look good.
Again, it was a good team win. A lot of people contributed. Obviously, a little bit bittersweet with Gerard going down.
Now Ridley's hurt.
Yeah, he cut Ridley's right knee.
Is in agony, pounding his right fist on the turf.
The guy's got to rally around the guy who steps in there and tries to do a great job. So, you know, it's unfortunate.
Brady has time. Throws down the right side for LaFelle by his lonesome at the 30 to the 25-20. Brandon out of a tackle. Brandon leaping to the end zone. Brandon with a second touchdown of the day. Patriots, as they've done so often through the years, walk off this field at Ralph Wilson Stadium winners. And today by a 37-22 final.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday, but really, it's a Friday? I don't know.
No, the traffic lady this morning told me it was a Monday because after a Monday holiday, Tuesday traffic is really Monday traffic. So I have no freaking idea what that is.
Between Bill Belichick yelling at me, it's Wednesday night, and your traffic lady. I don't know.
Just eliminate all holidays.
I'm going with Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium.
Imagine if he had told Geno Smith it was Wednesday night. He would have lost it. Lord only knows what he would have done.
We got a lot to talk about because obviously we only have two shows this week, so we have to talk about this Bills game with the pregame social.
Just because you're not there, a show still happens.
Well, if Fred's not at a show, is it still a show?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a tree falling in the woods.
We actually analyze things.
Anyway,
no stupidity.
Big win, big AFC East win on the road against the Bills. We're going to talk about that. It's a game that probably posed as many questions as it answered because of all the injuries and so on. So we'll talk about that.
Didn't pose any for me. Answered all my questions.
We'll talk about that. We're going to eventually get into the Jets coming here Thursday night game here at Gillette Stadium. The place is going to be rocking.
And wet.
It's an exciting week for Patriots fans. Tom Brady with an unbelievable second half. 10 different targets caught ball except for Danny Amendola. We'll talk about that as well.
No, we can't. We wasted the post-game show talking about
so much to discuss. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is email address. Toll-free if you want to call 855-PATH-500.
Okay. That's
good in the contiguous U.S. So, what do you got?
So Hawaii can't call
Paul, Paul will be here in a minute. He had to reshoot something.
He's sulking.
Very
he's
upset.
Throwing a Terry O'Reilly. No, not Terry O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly hissy fit right now.
And Eric's over at Tom Brady.
Yep. He'll be by later.
He'll be by.
Kevin will go around 12:30 to pick up lunch.
Yep.
I don't have any questions. I'm done with questions.
You don't have questions how they're going to fill the void for Gerard Mayo, how they're going to keep the running game intact?
Minor questions. All the regular questions have been answered. Brady looks good. Gronk looks good. Revis looks good. I thought they would ride to success look like they're ready to be ridden to success.
Those are big questions. Although,
booyah!
During the blog, I did have to question at some point, and it was just before Watkins caught his 20-yard pass, Why aren't they at least testing Reeves?
But that's part of the value of that.
I know.
Sometimes, like, I thought A.J. Green, he took physically out of the game. Mentally, Kyle Orton said, I can't throw to Watkins. Revis is over there. So I don't care what other teams do. If they challenge him, he knocks them down, forces fumbles, or picks it off. If they don't challenge him, that's a victory for the Patriots.
Yep.
Either way, I am all in on the triumphant triumvirate.
I mean,
what are you waiting for?
Stop knocking the table. People can hear that.
Oh, and they can't hear it when you do dumb stuff?
I agree with that. I just was wondering why they hadn't thrown his way at all.
Because that's what happens sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. When you're a journeyman who doesn't have a lot of faith, you don't do it. Right. You don't attack.
And no sooner did I say that, he caught a 20-yard pass.
Yeah, who cares? The one problem, and if we're going to get into the minor questions, and I'm deeming them all minor because the majors are back. Gronk is back. He's taking hits. He's giving hits. He's trying to get his linemen laid after the game.
And it was funny. He ran off the field just before the first half ended.
Early. Oh, yeah.
And it was because his elbow thing broke. And I was hoping he'd come back and it'd be gone. Like, that was like, right. You know, I've broken free of the elbow pad from now on, but they put it back on.
It's okay. He's making plays. He's getting down the field. He's catching balls. He had that touchdown knocked out by a holding call, but I'm done. Gronk is back. He's sick of talking
Gronk
about
is Gronk.
It. I'm all in on all Gronk. Right. I'm all in on Brady. I'm all in on Revis.
Yeah.
But in the minor things, certainly we'll get into the injury discussion, but I'm also worried, as you talked about, they didn't throw at Revis, so they threw at the backside. And Denner had a great game.
Chung had a tough game.
So the Brandon Browner thing is starting to, quite frankly, kind of piss me off. Like, either get out there. I'm so sick of, well, why is he not out there? Right. And once he gets out there, how are we going to use him? Because, you know, he doesn't like to play the left side. He only plays the right side, and he doesn't play. I'm just, get out there and do something before we analyze whatever you
maybe,
are.
Maybe, you know, all that crazy talk of him moving to safety is actually true, and they're waiting for him to be ready to do that.
I'm so sick of it all.
I am too.
Get out
there.
Right. Like, he's been a Patriot for 8 months now.
Get out there or package him in Amendola and trade him.
Well, that's what a lot of people want to do. And what are you going to get for that?
A running back or
a corner who
linebacker.
Hasn't played and a receiver who does nothing.
We need depth at linebacker. Big
so
time.
You'll get like Deontay Skinner, the equivalent.
No.
You're not getting somebody with like the ability to, you
might
get
somebody a little better.
Nah. No. What do you, a bag of balls?
Well,
I give somebody credit. They said, can we trade a 7th-round pick to the Steelers for LeGarrette Blount? You know, the Steelers might be fading, whatever. Or we'll send them a 6 if they also will take Amendola. They increased the draft pick by throwing. I liked that. That's a reasonable trade.
I'm hoping my guy, Jonas Gray, gets a chance to be called up from the practice squad. And
big guns.
Gets a shot. You know.
Do you like him, really?
I do. What I saw in the preseason on 2 different games, I just saw like a quickness to the hole. He wasn't indecisive for a guy who never played in the NFL. I thought he looked better running the ball than James White.
Oh, he did.
For sure.
James White looked terrible running the football.
Yeah.
And that's not what he is.
No.
You know, it's very rare when Bill sort of tells us what a guy is, but from day one, he was basically putting him in the Vereen category as a passing back, that type of a back.
Right.
And I think a lot of fans, and even I think we had a Wisconsin person try to tell us, no, he's more than that. He can be more than that. Bill has said he's pretty much that.
Yeah.
So in terms of the guys that are here, it's Bolden and Gray that are more suited to be early down lead back types.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think either is. I'm not a Bolden guy. You know, he's the same size. To me, doesn't run the same way. He's not a power inside runner.
He's a very straight-up runner. He doesn't shift. You know,
he's always got something.
If the hole's there, he'll take it, but he's doesn't have the decisiveness and the vision that I think you need to really be an every-down back in this league.
I also don't count on him.
Yeah.
Seems like he always has something else.
Yeah.
And when you're the backup or the fourth running back, the something else doesn't matter as much. But if you're now the guy and now something, you got an injury or you got a suspension or you got a this or you got a that, I'd be more inclined to just say, give Jonas Gray a chance.
I'm not saying he's the answer, but I was just intrigued, and I just like to see him, see what he could do.
That's good. Does he have the fat thighs? Is he
no,
thick in the thigh?
He's not that big. Yeah.
Oh, yes, he is.
Well, he's a big guy, but
he's over 230.
He doesn't have the Jonathan Dwyer thighs.
He's got big arms.
Oh, yeah.
I think the weight is in his arms.
He's got,
I like that.
He's got turban arms.
And he likes to show them. Remember in camp, he would like roll stuff up and show them off.
So he could be the guy.
I'll root for
him. Come on, let's get on that bandwagon.
And I do need to say, I need to apologize to fans, to super fans, to whack job fans everywhere. You told me Brian Stork was going to solidify the line. The line looked better when Brian Stork played, despite the fact that I mocked him as the savior, as a 4th-round rookie center. You told me Brian Timms was going to play and get down the field and be the deep threat and take the top off. He got down the field and he made a great catch. I was wrong. You were right. The preseason heroes are ready to shine.
Well,
now I'd rather put my eggs in Gronk, Brady, and Revis, but
I mean, look, the Patriots have been playing a lot better on the offensive side of the ball. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, look.
In the second half.
Yeah, in the second half. And
wasn't exactly fireworks early.
But, you know, the defense still has some work to do here because, especially with Mayo out. But, you know, Kyle Orton, what's his name? Yeah, Kyle Orton looked terrible. And, you know, still 299 yards passing.
Scott Chandler
had
a tight end
Chandler
day.
Chandler always gives us trouble.
But not like that.
You know?
He had a day that no tight end in Buffalo's had since 1992, Pete Metzelaars.
So, and I also didn't like the way he and Hogan were celebrating after every catch. It bothered me.
Oh, God. So nobody ran the stadiums pregame, but the celebration.
Yeah, yeah, it bothered me.
You're
it's like, look at the scoreboard, dummy.
Dummy.
You know, that just bothered me. A little bit too WWE after every catch, you know. So
something always bothers you.
It does.
You always have a hot sports take.
I'll find something to get me going.
Yes.
You know.
And even more so than normal this week.
But the Patriots certainly got me going in a good way.
Rob Ninkovich, 3 sacks.
Yep. Well,
sacks up.
Yep.
He had 3 sacks.
He
Don't
did.
Well me.
He did. Coverage sacks, as I said.
He gets no respect.
You know. But it was good. Chandler Jones had a nice
that was
play,
a great play.
Very athletic play.
Strip sack, trifecta, force fumble.
I like
recovery.
What Brandon LaFell did after the catch,
that
particularly.
Was Gronk.
Oh, come on.
That was all Gronk.
It doesn't matter why. The fact is,
I'm just kidding.
When Gronk does that, do you have guys that can take advantage of
yes.
it? And it looks like maybe we do.
Yes.
You know?
The only thing if there was any disappointment, quote unquote, Amendola I've written off, so I'm not really disappointed. I don't understand it, but, you know, Tim Wright. Caught one pass. He had the stat line of one pass, one catch, one touchdown, 1 yard average, 1 yard long. There was just one. That was it.
Right.
You know, you thought maybe he was picking up steam from the previous week, and that didn't really play out. That would be the one minor thing I'd like to see
but,
them evolve.
You know, when it was critical times, Brady did look to Gronk and Edelman, which he should.
Yeah.
I mean, any team that has, you know, their two main guys, that you'll see that happen on every team. So that's not out of the norm for any football team. But the fact is that he looked at other places. 10 different guys caught passes. And
to be fair, though, what was it? 6 or 7? It was a single catch.
Yeah, but that's okay.
I know. I'm just saying. It's not like it was really, you know, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Three guys on the team had over 90 yards receiving.
Very good.
I mean, that's
impressive.
Distribution.
Yes.
You know, you can't complain about that.
I'm not. Nobody's complaining, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think people are very happy, emotionally, gritty, and not even just the injuries or the bounce back from the previous week. You were in a dogfight. You know, you got lucky. You were able to – they turned the ball over twice in, what, 2 minutes to end the first half. You were able to score there, and then you took advantage in the second half. But even in the second half, you're coming down the wire. It was a one-score game. I mean, you hadn't put the Bills away, quote-unquote. So I thought they showed – some good fight, some good road intensity. I think you learned something about this team the last couple of weeks, and it's good.
So when Tim's caught that ball, do you think Eldridge got a little chubby?
Yes.
Yeah.
A big one.
Is that the guy he's – is that what he was finally
looking
for?
Oh, it's Tim's
for?
Time. Yep. Come on now. And even – I mean, everybody likes to see a bomb, and he's a great story.
It was a great catch.
Phenomenal.
Unbelievable focus.
Pass interference, I think.
Yeah.
And it's Moss-like, baby.
Yeah.
Separation.
So – let's just hope he can sustain that.
Yeah, who cares? Even if it's the only one, it was a nice story while it lasted. I'd still rather send him down the field than Matthew Slater or Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski.
Sure.
He has shown a knack for the deep ball, right?
Yep.
First, it was with Jimmy Garoppolo, so we kind of poo-pooed it. Now he did it for Tom Brady. Yep. No more poo-pooing.
All right. Paul's here. He's just getting wired up.
Grandpa Cranky Pants.
Get his Diet Pepsi and get his cans on. All right, so let's get to the phones because everybody wants to talk. Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's up, guys? It was a really good game on Sunday. I really like Rob Gronkowski on the outside. I didn't think he was that good. He's amazing. He is absolutely a freak of nature. But as for Brandon Browner, I got NFL Rewind yesterday, and I decided to look at some Seahawks games he was heavily involved in. He's not a very good cornerback. I watched the Colts game the Seahawks played last year, and T.Y. Hilton had 140 yards. Guess who they put him on where he got 140 yards.
I'm going to say Brandon Browner.
Andy, yeah, bad matchup, yeah. Right?
It's a bad matchup for him.
Wide receivers. Well,
yeah, everything's a bad matchup for him.
Exactly.
But it's also the problem when you're a right-left. The offense can dictate the matchups rather than you dictating the matchups because you're moving people around.
That's, I don't think Brandon Browner can dictate anything.
Well, yeah, I don't know whether he stinks or not. I'd like to see him on a game field in a Patriots defense playing opposite Revis.
Yeah.
But I'm just so frustrated with the idea of him. I'm so sick of posing the question of why he's not out there, what he's going to do, and just get out there and then we'll talk.
Do you think he could cover a tight end?
Sure. Why not?
He might be able to, because when you think about it, besides maybe Darrell Revis, when you're putting a cornerback up against like a Julius Thomas, who do you think could cover him better? Julius Thomas would just catch the ball over someone like Alphonso Bennett or Kyle Arrington. Brandon Browner at least has the size.
I don't think he could handle a guy like Julius. I think a guy like Scott Chandler on Sunday would not have had that kind of day if a guy like Brandon Browner were on him. But Julius Thomas would torture Brandon Browner.
Do you think like Kyle Arrington could do better?
No.
On who?
On Julius Thomas, no. He's one of those matchups. Just like, I don't think anybody can take Gronk out of a game. There's some guys that are just matchups that
you got a sandwich.
They're either too big, fast, and physical, and skilled for anybody.
Tlaib. We got to get him back.
Thanks, Justin. Let's go all the way across the pond to Adam in Dublin. Hey, Adam.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I was just thinking, you know, with the injuries and everything we had on the weekend, and there's probably a few holes to be filled there maybe going forward. You know, we're going to have the trade deadline coming up, and everyone's going to talk about that. And I was just thinking, you know, you look at the roster, and there's not much trade bait there. I mean, Amendola, don't think you're going to get much for him. But I just thought, well, let's have a look at the history of the draft picks maybe, you know, the last few years. And if you look in the second round since 2008 to last year, 7 of 13 second-round picks have been cut or have left, and I include Chung in that, even though he's come back. And that could go to 8 if Tavon Wilson turns out the way it looks like it's going to go. And then you get like 7 of 9 third rounds have been cut. So I got to say, look, you got your second and third rounds, package them, see where you can get help, you know what I mean? Because we are not hitting on these picks.
I don't mind the theory. I certainly don't mind the theory at all, and I think Belichick's going to look. We've seen it the last couple of years. I don't think he minds making a trade. Now, the question is, you know, somebody said, would you trade for a receiver? You know, you promoting the Larry Fitzgerald idea. I'm not sure receiver is your biggest need right now.
Right.
I think defensive line, linebacker, safety, right. You still, and offensive line, you can, they played better for a short stretch. I'm not sold that this Jordan Devy or whoever is the line.
No.
So I'm not sure receiver, even running back now. You add a running back.
That's right.
So, receiver, over the last couple of weeks, actually, you feel a little better about with LaFell and Gronk getting back to Gronkness. So I think wide receiver would be pretty far down the trade target.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Paul, is there anything since you just got here you want to add?
No, I assume you guys touched on all the, you know, the elements, the offense, obviously, offensive explosion in the second half. You didn't talk about that?
No, I'm just kidding.
We did.
And I assume you talked about the injuries. And, right. You know, I would have, I think we're all in lockstep on this one based on our conversations on the TV show. So I don't think I have anything that I need to get
in there. Are you concerned greatly about the injuries? Because this will see if you and I are in lockstep.
I'm not, it's not ideal, but I'm not, it's not end of the world kind of stuff.
Fred,
to me,
let
this is what teams are dealing with.
Buffalo game that may have ended with more questions than answers, and I said I didn't agree. I said I got all the answers I needed. Brady, Gronk, and Revis, baby. I'm riding the triumvirate.
It may have posed more as many questions as it answered.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the injuries specifically?
Yeah.
Then I'm with Andy on the injuries specifically. I'm not as it's not a good thing that you lost your middle linebacker. I mean, it's not. I mean, Mayo is an important guy. They're used to playing without him. He's missed a lot of games over the years, and I think that I think that they can get by. They showed that last year. I don't think this is, you know, a huge impact on the season.
But I don't want to just get by. I want to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, well, I don't think that the injury did much to change the odds of that. If you felt like they had a... No, I'm...
You didn't think they had a chance to begin with.
No, what I was going to say was if you thought they had a chance to win the Super Bowl before Sunday, you should still think that way because I don't think Gerard Mayo is preventing you from going to the Super Bowl.
If Mayo was money in your pocket, what kind would he be?
50-cent pieces.
You guys underestimate him.
And by the way, if he doesn't redo his contract, you've seen the last of Gerard Mayo in a Patriots uniform.
No, but in all seriousness, to be disrespectful.
How come nobody rips him for being lack durability? Got to get rid of him. This is ridiculous. Got a $50 million linebacker every season. Ends up on IR. Never there when you need
him. It's unbelievable how he spins everything back to Gronkowski. It's just amazing to me.
It's amazing. I support the team's great players.
Gronk is all world. I mean, no, Mayo's just all
remember
pro.
This spring? People wanted to trade. He was an all-pro. He was an all-pro.
Okay.
He was an all-pro. You can't take it away.
3 years ago? 4 years ago?
But, you still call him President Bush. Once you're all-pro, you reach an all-pro
Yeah, those
level.
Are the same thing.
He gets so mad.
All-pro Sebastian Vollmer.
No, because he was never all-pro. There's a big difference between second-team all-pro and first-team all-pro, in my opinion. Oh. When you're first-team all-pro, you're dubbed the best at your position in the National Football League.
Right.
That to me is an honor,
yeah. And it's the same thing with the way Seymour got all that respect from coaches and opponents. Mayo gets the same respect, so
does he?
They know stuff that we don't.
I don't know that.
You've seen the same kind of respect from opposing coaches.
Yep, for Gerard Mayo. Okay.
Now internally, I think he gets endless respect from his fellow teammates and from his coach. His coach was borderline, shaken up at the loss of Gerard Mayo. He gets it internally. But I don't know that people across the league, although Bill Polian once did call him the next Ray
I'm
Lewis.
Telling you, I've heard a lot of players and coaches laud how well,
laud.
You know,
I think he's a good player. I don't put him as where Andy puts him.
Wait, where does Andy put him? Whoa.
Down. I think you think
you
less of
Mayo. You just
said
he was a 50-cent piece.
No, I was playing off your joke. I know what you were. I know what you were looking for. I gave you what you were looking for.
We should do that. A Paul Perillo, is he a $100 bill? Is he a $50 bill?
I don't think that he is a great player. I don't think he's an irreplaceable player. But I don't think he's a stiff either.
I didn't call him a stiff.
I didn't say that you did.
He doesn't make plays that would equate to his contract.
And I don't think that his kind of player, steady, you know, tackle machine kind of inside linebackers are the difference between going to the Super Bowl and not. That's all I'm saying. And that might sound like I'm being disrespectful to Mayo, but I don't mean it that way.
And I'm also pretty consistent. I think Luke Kuechly's overrated. And everybody lauds him for the everything that happened to the defense good in Carolina after he entered the lineup, and it's all about Luke Kuechly. And I don't know if that's true.
See, I think the thing you're missing for both Kuechly and Mayo is when he's out there, he takes care of so much stuff, you know, and it's just when he's gone, it's a big hole to
fill. But you mean cerebrally?
Cerebrally, yeah. Tackles, just being where he's supposed to be, getting everyone else.
First of all, I think when you play that position, you get 100 tackles. Second of all, I think when you play that position, you call the plays and make the adjustments.
Hey, James Anderson did that last year in Chicago, and he's now not in the league. With the 100 plus tackles and stuff, I
love those
guys.
That's
the part
of
it that I agree with Andy.
They're some of my favorite players. The only problem is I don't put them in the same category as an edge rusher and an impact.
Now I think you're being a little
Darrell Revis.
I think you're being a little dismissive of Kuechly because I think he does make some of the plays that you're talking about.
Makes some.
I don't think you have you definitely don't have to game plan for Gerard Mayo, but Gerard Mayo is part of your game plan. I mean he is. You know, the captain out there, he's getting everything together and he's making plays. And
is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Come on. Every time he makes a play, it's like, oh, I guess he's making plays now, and then we forget about him.
I just think
that your definition of a play is a little different than mine. That's all. I'm not saying he never makes any positive plays to the defense. He has, I think he's really worked and he's gotten very good at that little delayed blitz that we saw Skinner use on Sunday.
Oh, somebody else can do it?
I think he's gotten good at that. He's made some run tackles. Do you have a pressing news that you need to get?
No, I was going to say, Chandler Jones made a play.
Oh, that's a play
that's
anybody.
What I'm saying. You don't have to game plan for Gerard Mayo, but he is so much part of your
But game. You're saying that we say we don't make
just
a lot
of keep saying it.
But we say you're criticizing Andy and I for saying he doesn't make a lot of plays, and you think that he does. I'm talking about in coverage. I'm talking about blowing up a screen. I'm talking about picking off a pass. I'm talking about forcing a fumble. in blitzing as a linebacker, coming up with a key third down sack or stuff like that. I don't see a lot of those out of him.
Yeah, I know, but
like Bowman and Willis in San Francisco. I think Keekly does some of that in Thomas Davis in Carolina, that Andy, I think, is a little more dismissive of Keekly than I am. I don't look at Mayo in that light. I don't think he does a lot of that.
I think if you're a coach, losing Mayo, it just puts a lot more on your plate as a coach, you know, to get your team
that may
ready.
Be. Sure.
You know,
and he's a coach on the field,
yeah.
Sure.
And he's a starter.
He's so reliable.
He's a full-time starter. Of course that's true, what you just said. It puts more on the coach's plate.
But the same thing would happen, you know, for example, the position everybody would talk about a backup at is quarterback. When a backup quarterback goes in, you're having two drop-offs. You're having the game-planning, knowledgeable drop-off, and then you're having, well, can he just make the throws? Can he? So, like Garoppolo right now, to me, I'm guessing is probably closer to running the offense than he is to being Brady and, you know, going through his reads and making throws. I thought he looked pretty good all summer, sort of comfortable running the offense. But when the blitz comes, then he's going to break down.
And some of the throws that you saw were indicative of that.
Right. Gerard Mayo, and Dante Hightower now has a year under his belt where he talked about how much he learned last year, how much more comfortable he felt late. So you have a guy that you can, as long as he's healthy, hand the green dot to and say, I'm going to lean on you.
You know, and looking forward, we were a little abbreviated this week because, you know, obviously the game's Thursday. That's a concern because without Mayo, do you get Hightower back?
Well, if you don't have Hightower, okay, I'm a little more I'm concerned.
Well, I think
but
there's
I
a chance.
But I figured you would be.
See, I'm not sure, Andy, on a Thursday
out.
Night game. He worked out and he looked See, I think it's when you're at the mercy of everybody's was sort of chronicling the whole pregame routine for Hightower, and he looked really upset. They were saying,
"Oh yeah, did you see him?" By
I
the
did.
Way?
Was
what
he
upset?
Do you think he was upset
they were
because
out there.
He
Bill
was, trying...
was out there? Bill didn't even bother going. He was still in his suit,
right?
Out there, and he went through his thing, and then you know he kind of walked off. Hightower did before everyone else did, and his head was hanging low.
And did you
and
notice?
I really didn't see the actual workout part. I just saw him walking off, and I sit there. Ooh, he doesn't look happy.
You know, and now there's two logical reasons for him to be all pissed off. Is he mad because he was trying to lobby to play and they said no, and he's mad about that? Or is he mad because the knee's not responding?
Right.
He knew he couldn't play. This isn't feeling right.
Yeah,
I can't
it seemed
play.
To me more if, discouraged than mad.
And because everybody was saying he was pissed off when leaving the field. Mm-hmm. He had his head down and he was upset leaving the field. And I think there's two very logical things that you can draw. Now, you can't figure it out from the press box.
No.
You can only see that he dropped his head, he walked off the field upset. But you don't know if he's upset because they wouldn't let him play or if he was upset because in his mind he knew he couldn't play.
Well, now he has to play.
And that's a problem.
Get out there.
Yeah. And that's a problem with a Thursday night game.
Yeah. What was the word that Curran used in his Brady's? It took a lot of therapy to get Brady on the field.
That was no...
you do whatever therapy you need this week.
The quote was, that was no joke.
No, significant. Significant injury. Hmm. Took a lot of therapy to get Brady out on the field. We're not even talking about that.
Let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Rich is in New Jersey. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to say, isn't Gronkowski's elbow... wrap for his metal plate?
I don't know why he wears the elbow brace. I mean, I assume that the elbow isn't as strong as it used to be.
Well, it's not the elbow, it's the arm. It's the entirety of the arm. But yes, it is because of the injury, and it is still a medical decision. It is not his, according to what he said about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yes, I was under the assumption that it's there because to protect players comes with metal plate that is in his arm.
To protect other players?
No,
I don't think they would put something like that on.
No.
It would be more of a padding.
No. Yeah. Nope.
Oh, okay. Just figured I'd say it.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Because I don't believe, for example, that... what was his name? The guy with the titanium arms that played for the cornerback. Yeah, he didn't wear any big massive
apparatus. Yeah, he had rods, like titanium rods in his wrist.
So, I mean, this is to protect Gronk in the injury. Because immediately, Tom Curran went immediately to, he could have broken his arm again at the edge of the plate, and it's a new break. And I was like, whoa.
And all the post-game stuff that I read yesterday in the papers all talked about him going to the sideline with an arm injury. And listen, we might not know for sure because Gronk is probably not going to tell us, but Andy and I are lockstep. We don't believe anything happened to the arm.
No, it's the brace broke.
Right.
The play before.
Right.
And it was flapping. I think he says he got the wind knocked out of him. I think
That play. Yeah.
I think he got the wind knocked out. My initial reaction was
that's what I heard.
And that might be all it was.
Something
that's what
over
said.
Here. Yeah. I thought he landed hard kind of half on his ribs and shoulder, and I didn't know if it was a shoulder, but anyone who's ever had the wind knocked out of them,
oh, yeah.
you think you're
you
dying.
You think you're
right.
going to die.
You can't do anything.
It is about as bad an injury, minor injury, as you can have.
Right.
And I think that's what it was. He was probably thinking, oh, my God.
It looks a hell of a lot worse than it is.
Well, I'm dying.
Yeah. Let's go to Malachi in Brockton. Hey, Malachi.
Yes. How y'all doing? Good afternoon.
What's up?
There's a couple things I want to touch on here. Yeah, the Little Eye defense really just looks kind of soft, you know. I mean, I was surprised that a tight end like Scott Chandler was able to just have a big day like he did, you know, like he did on Sunday. You know, and I'm not, you know, Jamie Collins, I'm just not seeing what I thought I was going to see from him this year. He looks to struggle in coverage. I mean, he looked a lot faster than he looks. He looks a lot faster last year than he looks this year. So, I don't know, you know. And, you know, I also want to touch on, you know, Brandon Browner. I hear y'all, you know, kind of hard on him and stuff like that. But, you know, this guy, to me, and his stats prove it, is a great corner. You're talking about a guy who was an all-pro corner in 2011. You're talking about a guy in 2012 who ranked ninth in passing coverage inside the league. You're talking about a guy that every 13.1 coverage snaps, only one ball was caught on him. Now, this is what the stats say. And he pulled down
three interceptions.
Is this? So, you know, and I was reading, I wanted to look it up, so I looked it up. And this is a guy who only gave up four touchdowns in his whole Seahawks career. So I just think y'all are a little too hard on him. You know, I hear y'all saying, you know, you don't think he'd be able to cover a guy like Julius Thomas. Well, I think he can, you know. And no, he's not the fastest guy inside the world, but he can definitely cover, you know.
Okay, well, Brandon Browner, first of all, has never been an All-Pro.
No.
I'm looking at his bio right now. He has been in one Pro Bowl in 5 years. So that's... you know, not overly impressive there. As far as the Pro Football Focus statistics, I'm not going to argue with those because I don't grade the games with them, so I don't know any of that is true or not. I will say this about Brandon Browner. If he was the cornerback that you just described, I want to know why Seattle didn't want him. And I want to know why he lost his job last year before he got hurt and before he got suspended to Brian Maxwell. If he was as good as that description just made it out to be, why did he lose his job?
Yeah, I think we saw, and thanks for the call, Malachi. I think we saw in, you know, training camp that he's a very physical guy, but he does rely on that physicality. I think once his opponent gets in space, he's at a little bit of a disadvantage.
If he doesn't win at the line,
right.
He's fighting a major uphill battle.
Right.
Now, there were a couple plays. There was one play in particular in Washington. He got beat badly at the line, and he does have some length. So, you know, sometimes he uses that to recover. I think Jamie Collins gets away with that at times where he'll get beat a little bit, and then he has the long legs and the long arms. So you take one step and one reach. Well, I'm a lot closer to the ball now than, you know, Alphonso Dennard because he's shorter. And it's just he doesn't have that go-go gadget arm to work with. But I just need to see. Everything I've seen on the practice field from Browner gave me doubts. I need something to not give me doubts. And Paul's right. If he's so good, why is he not in Seattle? Oh, wait, he got suspended, and they don't allow that there if you get suspended.
Well, everybody else in Seattle's been suspended, so that wasn't it.
Why is he not in Seattle? You know, Pete knows one thing. It's defense, it's corners, it's coverage, right?
Yeah.
So that's not a be-all, end-all, but you put that with wasn't impressed this summer. I need to see positive. Yeah. Give me a positive on the regular game field, and then I'll say, okay, he's
and
better than I thought.
I'm going to flip to a positive here on the first part of Malachi's call. He was talking about Collins in coverage. I actually think Collins has been pretty good in coverage. This year, even, don't blame Collins for Scott Chandler the other day. Most of that damage happened after Mayo came out, and Collins was no longer part of that coverage. I think early in the game, now, admittedly, it was one of those interceptions that he just happened to be standing there and the ball got thrown to him. But he's been, I think, pretty active in coverage. Andy says this all the time, and I actually agree with him. Linebackers, because I almost never do, linebackers aren't great coverage guys. Even the greatest coverage linebackers get beat more often than not in coverage.
Sure.
So, yeah, I've seen Jamie Collins trailing on those crossing routes and being out of position. No, I don't think Jamie Collins can cover Julius Thomas. I don't think that's a good matchup. But in terms of what they ask him to do and what other linebackers are able to do, I think he is as advertised. I think he's pretty good in coverage. I think he's been okay this year in that regard. Andy's, you know, Andy and I talked about, you know, with Mayo out, like who's the burden on? He's a guy that's might be asked to do a little bit more, and I don't, you know, we'll see if he's able to do it.
Do you think they're regretting getting rid of James Anderson?
They should be.
You know,
is he still available?
Titans, I believe.
Oh, he's on the Titans.
Yeah, because I mean, I think he would have been able to contribute at this point, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the little bit I've seen from Skinner, not necessarily in coverage. He struggled early in the Minnesota game. But I didn't mind what I saw. And he certainly looks the part of, like, an athletic linebacker.
Him and Ja'Garrett Davis, they look good in the locker room.
They fill it out.
They fill out
Paul,
the uniforms.
Am I going to have to keep you out of the locker room?
Yes. You know, I didn't realize how that sounded until you talked about this.
Speaking of creepy, Mark in Fall River writes in, great picture on the cover of PFW this week. Headline made me feel a little creepy, though. Andy must have been involved.
Nope.
As
Andy
evidenced
wanted
by
no
the
part
joke
of
about
it.
My mother he is probably telling right now.
No.
What was the...
I gave about 10 different options for the cover, and Fred went with his own.
I like throes of ecstasy.
I wanted Who's Next. I wanted Balls Deep. I wanted...
Yeah, Balls Deep. That would have been good.
You wanted Balls Deep.
Not really, but I was trying to annoy him. I was texting him cover ideas, so I'm going Fast and Furious, and I just threw Balls Deep in the middle to see.
Yeah.
I didn't like Throes of Ecstasy because I didn't think the game, the overall story of the game was about overall happiness, ecstasy. So I thought it was a little bit, that play, yes. Eric and I were thinking Who's Next or Next Up, or and, you know, Tim's kind of falls into that because he has come on to be next to
Brady.
Contribute.
You think Brady?
Oh, exclamation point?
Yeah.
No. Tim's time is now.
Toby from New York says, what's being served at Thursday night's tailgate? I'm assuming a lot of crow. Make sure to have an extra two or three helpings for Paul. This Sunday, Brady showed that he still has plenty in the tank and reminded us why he's considered one of the best all time. Garoppolo would have wet his tights facing that combination of crowd noise and defensive pressure.
I agree.
Giardi doesn't.
I'm going to get a lot of that. I took a lot of that in the post game about, you know.
Were you hard on Brady before the game?
No, well, oh. I wanted to address
you picked
this.
Picked them to lose two straight weeks.
I picked Buffalo to win the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, then you don't listen to when we make the picks.
I don't.
Sorry. I mean, we have to hurry so fast that you don't even bother listening to anybody?
No.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to eat a lot of crow for picking the Bills to post the upset, and that didn't happen. The Brady stuff, I'm not going to apologize for it. I think that what I've seen the last 2 weeks is proof that I was right, because he's played much better. You can't tell me that you didn't think he played much better Sunday than he did in the first four games.
But it's all mental.
No, but that's not my point.
Yeah.
Everybody was telling me that he wasn't part of the problem in the first four weeks.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
If you can't see the difference of the way he's played the last two games than he did the first four games, then I can't help you.
He did not react the same way to the pressure in this game than he did in the first few weeks.
Because he was vintage Brady Sunday.
Right.
And that's what everybody is looking to see, and that's what people were telling me was happening in the first four
games. And we were talking about it on the TV show. I don't know what it was.
No,
but
just give him some time.
It was
just
almost
give him some
like,
protection.
Look, I can't expect the perfect pocket anymore. I know I'm not going to get
with
it. I'm just going to have to deal with it.
And he did.
And I think that gives confidence to all the other guys.
Obviously. When your leader's rolling, you're rolling.
But you know my
when
point?
When your leader's swagging, you're swagging.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, I wasn't listening.
It's not about what you... I had no doubt that Brady was capable of playing like he did on Sunday.
You didn't?
None.
Didn't? Really?
None.
Except in the playoffs.
That's different.
Okay.
No, honestly.
I thought you mocked me for saying, you know, I'll tell you, I'm giving him time and, you know, he's earned it and you were mocking me.
But what I'm saying is,
when
you're critical of Brady, it doesn't mean that you don't think that he can play well anymore. Like, people sort of, like, put all this stuff together. Like, the national guys that are wondering if Brady had enough weapons, he can't do it all himself anymore. That's not the same thing as saying Brady is done and he needs to retire. I knew that he could still beat Buffalo. He's 23-2 against Buffalo. Anybody surprised that they beat Buffalo, you know.
So why'd you pick Buffalo?
I was wrong.
Oh.
I picked an upset. I was wrong.
So then why are you surprised? You just said you picked Buffalo.
Hey, who did I pick last
night? No, but what I'm saying
is. San Francisco and St. Louis.
I don't know.
I forget.
Who cares?
I would assume San Francisco.
No, but I thought I might have picked an upset, but I'm not sure.
But my point is.
Who cares?
I was critical of the way Brady had played in the first month of the season. And watching him play the last two games, that's night and day. He's right. Played so much better. So
that's why I'm on board, Paul.
He deserved some of the credit. He wasn't playing as well.
Brady,
as
Revis,
he could.
And Gronk, baby. Ride it.
And especially Sunday, the protection wasn't that much better than it had been in the first month.
Oh, falling into line for Andy. Really? Katy Perry's doing the halftime show, and Andy's going to be there to watch.
Yeah. Now, Paul's right. Paul's right in that respect. Brady did not play well.
Right.
Well, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, what do you think of Brady now? I think Brady's back to where he's normally placed now. That's what I think of Brady.
All
now.
Those people are right about the protection and the weapons and all that stuff, but still, Brady didn't play well. He didn't make those things better like he usually does. And now he finally, whatever light switch went off, it went off, and he said, I
now, do you think the weapons have been better? Do you think Gronk has been better? Do you think LaFell has
Gronk's
been better?
I think LaFell has been better.
Yeah.
And Gronk has certainly played more and more snaps, so that's obviously making the whole offense better.
And he's better. Yeah. Now, I guess you could throw...
He's playing more.
No, I know, but I don't think... I think there's been more efficiency with Brady and Gronk.
Yep.
I think you're not getting... What was it? The like 11 targets and 4 catches
right,
one
percentage
week.
Made. Yeah.
I think that it's getting better.
Yeah.
They're getting on the same page, whether it's physical, mental, rep-wise, whatever.
Yep. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey.
Sup.
Yeah, what's up, man? Quick point I'll make about, really, I mean, I don't even really care about Brian, to be honest. I just feel like if from watching the game, if you can get up there and get the pressure, and I think that's the main difference that maybe I'll be more excited about this year than last year, because I'm feeling about the same confidence-wise. But, you know, last year it wasn't good enough. So in order to take that next step up, I feel like it's going to start with our team being able to get pressure on the quarterback. I think that's, like, the main thing that we got to focus on. So that's, you know, Chandler Jones, hopefully he doesn't get worn down. Minko making an impact, which is great. But we just got to consistently get pressure on the quarterback. And I feel like that's going to be the big take-home message to where it's going to take this team to the next level.
I still have concerns about that.
Yeah, I don't think that they can. I don't think they can generate pressure unless it's a coverage type thing or they do some kind of blitz. I don't think one on one, they've got guys like last night. I was watching San Francisco. And,
oh my God!
And every play, Austin Davis was running for his life, and they weren't blitzing.
Yeah, and part of that was Austin Davis.
Well, yeah,
but you're absolutely right though. It was unreal how every single pass play.
Yeah,
they had three guys chasing the rookie
quarterback. And that's a good defense, San Francisco.
Oh,
but they're all out.
It's also a
3-4. They're all hurt.
Yeah, they have eight guys out.
Their backups are like the relievers for the Rays. Like, they bring in another guy who throws 95. You know, and
they had guys I'd never even heard of last night. Some guy that was playing for Omaha in the UFL.
There were some bad protections where they would have a back or a tight end one-on-one with, like, Ahmad Brooks. And Ahmad Brooks would literally just run the guy over.
And
run
him
the
bleep
over.
That's the next scene. You got to check
bailed a few times.
Oh, I have no doubts. I have no doubts that the Niners are as
they
got to
be doing just what Seattle's doing.
Yeah.
That
NFC West is they have good supplements.
Have you seen them?
Can I say one point real quick?
Go ahead, Melvin.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, that's kind of the point as far as San Francisco being able to. I know I used to watch Justin Smith kind of, I don't know if you've seen that, but he'll kind of take his defender and kind of push him in to a defender again, let Alden Smith kind of rush in.
All the time.
I don't care if it's stud, if you just beat him off the line, if you send the pressure. I think the last year we sit back too much. We sit back and we play patty cake too much. I think we need to go get him. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the point of Revis, I thought, was to. We could ever, you know, get up there and get to the line and send some more blitzes. So
I think you're going
to
see.
There. I just want pressure.
Okay,
all right, see you, Melvin.
I think you're going to see if there was any chance of the Patriots getting exotic and taking more chances. I think you're going to see less and less of that now with Mayo out. I just think he's not going to want to, Belichick, he's not going to want to take chances.
Well, I think I could see that going two different ways, though. He might feel like he has to because of that.
I think Fred's right initially, and then it could go your way.
And I also think I think Fred's right, too. Initially, but the more that Bill gets comfortable with watching Revis do what he's done the last 2 weeks, you know, maybe in 3 weeks he'll actually admit he's playing man, and you know, we'll see. But can you imagine if, you know, he's saying, well, you know what, this really is, I know it's cliche, but he really is just eliminating half the field. I can do different things. I can start sending guys, and it is funny. On a day they got 5 sacks. Ninkovich had 3, and I honest to God didn't remember them. Like, he got his 3rd sack, and someone said, that's his 3rd sack of the day, and I did not remember the first 2. I don't think
Steve DiAsi very upset at that. He was like bitching. Nobody's even talking in the media. And Rob Ninkovich has 3 sacks and no one's even talking about it.
Because I kind of agree with Melvin. I don't think
they were Jarvis Green sacks.
I don't think the Patriots had good pressure on somebody.
Right. They were kind of coverage sacks. I won't say that when but I interview him for a
piece. I mean, a sack
show,
is a sack, but.
But even no, a sack is
someone
not a sack.
Gave him those sacks.
No, no, no. A sack is not a sack.
But I'm not even dismissing them. I'm not even if I just said they were all coverage sacks, I would say, well, the coverage was great, you know. But I didn't feel like they had a lot of pressure unless they got a sack.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like
that's what they've done for 3 years.
They had 5 plays that they had reasonable pressure on Orton, and Orton went down all 5 times.
It's like they had 48 sacks more than ever last year, and they didn't have great pressure.
Whereas Brady only got sacked twice, but I felt was running for his life throughout the first half, literally running, but under constant pressure and getting rid of the ball quickly. And throughout the first half, it was a little better in the second half. But I thought Buffalo had much more pressure on the passer than the Patriots did, and they had 5 sacks to 2.
Ross in Canada writes, and he says, I've got your back, Paul. People need to ease up on Paul for giving a prediction using honest analysis. He hasn't hid from this. No Andy Hart double talk backtracking.
I don't double talk backtrack.
He's admitted willingly he picked incorrectly. Paul, I was there with you, like I'm sure you were. I was pulling for the Pats to win on the road, but I had my doubts. It's hard to win on the road, and the Patriots left a lot of emotion out there last Sunday against the Bengals.
That was the thing I was probably most impressed with.
Yep.
Was their ability to
get it back
to
up.
To wind it back up.
Yep. This team, which we've seen in weeks 5 and 6, are playing at a completely different level than what we saw the first 4 weeks of the season. I never jump ship. I simply recognize that weeks 1 to 4, we weren't playing at an elite level that we fans of the Patriots have grown accustomed to seeing. Hopefully, what we've seen these past 2 weeks is closer to what we are than not. All that being said, Paul, if you pick the Jets to win, you're on your own.
Yeah, no, I did not pick the Jets to win. Listen, you can be, I think one of the worst things to be in the media, we are very critical of the media, but just be honest. You thought something was going to happen. You said no. You know, I thought Buffalo would win the game, and they didn't. So what am I going to sit here and say? Oh, I really didn't think Buffalo was going to win the game. I was just trying to like pump up the team. Yeah, I could make something up. That's just stupid. People see through that crap.
Brian in Essex says Andy most certainly has a point with Gronk versus Mayo. Gronk was the subject to a great deal of criticism over his injuries, from myself no less. While we rarely ever hear any kind of criticism of Mayo, fairly or not, that's reality. But, I mean,
dude's making $7 million
this
year.
Dude's
making $10 million.
We don't criticize Gronk for getting hurt.
Oh, fans do. They were at the end of their rope. They wanted to get rid of him, cut ties.
A lot of fans don't want to give him that bonus that he's not even due until the end of next season.
Yeah, Fred. Ask PFW and call.
But I don't think they blame Gronk for that, right? It's just frustration.
Well, he's fragile. He can't stay healthy. He's brittle, whatever.
I'll give you the reason.
Yeah. Okay, you plant your foot and have a guy go 40 miles an hour at your knee.
My opinion is people feel like Gronkowski's injuries could be prevented because he doesn't work hard off the field.
Oh, God.
I think that's a very bad perception of him, that people look at the party atmosphere. Gerard Mayo is everybody's hardest working guy who's always in the film room, is always in the facility, and Gronk during the offseason is out partying, and people think that's why he gets hurt.
Yeah, that film
that's
really
my opinion.
Helps him from not getting hurt. He gets hurt just as much as, you know, we said.
That's Andy's point.
Right. Thank you. But by the way.
That's stupid fan talk.
Yeah, and I agree, okay. Fred. It's not.
But it's still fan talk.
But I don't think it's indicative. You know how you always dismiss, like, a sort of out of line of thinking from fans is not really being indicative of what real fans. That's one that I don't think most Patriots fans want to get rid of Rob Gronkowski.
Not anymore. They won't admit
to
it.
No, I don't think they even wanted to do it before the season.
I'm not so sure.
You heard some people say that, but I don't think a lot of people.
I think they felt like they couldn't count
the same
on him.
Way.
But I think it's born out of frustration and not any criticism.
Well, why wouldn't it be born out of frustration with Mayo? He's missed multiple games in three seasons.
Mayo doesn't
now.
Have the potential to be the greatest ever at his position. Gronk does.
So that, for all the more reason, you should want to hold on to Gronk.
No, I know.
And make Mayo expendable.
But all the more reason why it makes it all that more frustrating, too. When you see the potential of this guy being all world, and every year it seems to be, you know, derailed, especially at critical times. Let's go.
Eric actually wants Mayo to sit out all of next year.
Well,
so
probably,
I mean, listen, guys.
Don't hit the table.
Guys get hurt. I mean, this is the way the league is. What are you going to do? You can't kill the guys for that.
He's Mayo amazing.
No, but what you do is you say, you know that $6.7 million salary next year? You ain't getting that. You're down to 800K. His cap number is 10 and change next year, Gerard Mayo. Yeah. Ain't getting that. If he wants that, he won't be back. Now, I think he'll
and
just
and he's got half the team making $800,000 next year.
I think he'll just take the shave, and he'll be making $1 million next year. I don't think Gerard Mayo, I think he likes it here. He's, you know, little Bill, whatever, and he'll be here.
Little Bill.
He might just have an injury clause, you know. He might get a good contract, but it'll be some type of if he gets injured, they get some relief or something like that.
Incentive laden?
Yeah. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, yeah, Jets suck.
Yeah, you got that right.
Hopefully the first of many this week. Guys, great improvement this week again. Just a sidebar on Scott Chandler, man. He seems to rack us up every year. I mean, he's always had a favorable matchup against our safeties. I think Chung being the common denominator. Maybe not last year, but from what I remember 2 years ago, he lit us up to the tune of a couple touchdowns. I wasn't shocked to see him getting the best of us, but much rather see that than more outside against our boys, you know, Revis and such. But the thing that bothered me most was, damn, the Bills were taking target practice on our guys. I mean, all those shots to Gronk, you know, his knees and so forth going low, just seemed to me like that was a part of their game plan on defense, was to try to knock as many pass players out of the game. Not sure if that's your take on that, but sure as hell seemed more than glaring to me watching that one.
Well, I certainly saw at least one guy take a shot at Gronk's knees by the end zone, but I don't think it was on purpose. I really don't. I just think it was a real physical game, you know?
Yeah.
Called
tackling. I mean, I think that's the Schwartz style of attacking.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
it
wasn't like Vontaze Burfict, what he was doing against the Panthers. He was twisting ankles at the end of plays, and they caught him on film doing it. So, yeah, I don't think they were doing that.
Yeah, anyway. So as far as Ridley and Mayo go and these injuries, you know, to me with Mayo, first of all, I think without Mayo in there, it takes away a lot of the read and react philosophy. I think we will be more aggressive. I think if we, you know, stand back and look for more of a read and react approach, I just don't know if the guys that are in there have that type of mental makeup to play that style of defense. As far as Ridley goes, you know, I may be in a small camp here, but I'm ready to move on. I feel really bad for him. He's been running really well this year, but you know, the fact that we just continue to anticipate a fumble every time the guy takes the field, I'm ready to move forward from that and see a different look at running back. You know, maybe Vereen's the guy, maybe not, but the fact that he's in a contract year, I'm expecting big things from him this week, being a short week. You know, he has always seemed to have his way with the Jets, and then, you know, we'll kind of see from there. But I feel like Vereen's got to take more of that role right now as we transition out. And then last, just leave you guys with this question now. With Mayo out of the picture, who would be your vote for defensive captain? I think Vince has got to be the guy as far as that locker room intangible guy. But, you know, to me, that's the one thing going forward is, you know, who's going to be that anchor on defense mentally, keep these guys ready to fight. But that's it. You guys have a good day. Over and out.
Yeah, it's Vince. I mean, it has been Vince. He is a captain, and I think more so is a accountability kind of guy. Mayo does what he needs to do, but Vince will scare you a little bit. Vince will snap a little bit, and that's Vince.
And maybe Hightower's ready to take on some of that load.
Sure. Hightower, yeah. Ninkovich was a captain last year. Yeah. He got promoted to be a captain at some point with all the injuries last year.
McCourty.
So leadership is not my concern on defense right now. Playmaking and the ability up front to withstand a lack of bodies is the question.
All right, we got more calls, more emails coming in, a lot to talk about. It's Jets week. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was we would always have there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called Smear the Queer. Which
yep, me
could,
too.
Which you couldn't call
today.
We
played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then,
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
So
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you just because he said it twice doesn't mean
if
it was okay.
And I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, we're talking about the Bills game. We're talking about the Jets game. Stephen Ridley, Gerard Mayo,
Kirk Minahan being castrated. I mean, what?
What? Where did that come from?
What happened?
Well, Kirk Minahan, I mean, he's become quite, as you would say, a pussy.
Why are we even talking
and all that?
Well, because he, you know, he tells a joke and he immediately has to apologize. And I'm just kidding. I don't bought my.
I know, but why were you?
Oh, it could because he called me out for playing tonsil hockey and footsie with Bill Belichick.
Oh, what happened?
Well, you did. You were a little embarrassing.
I ended the interview with a little lighthearted joke.
I didn't hear any of it, so I'm just kidding.
He was sitting right there, and I just said, you know, the microphone a little more cooperative today than it was last night, and he gave it a little chuckle.
Stupid thing.
So he was he sits in this seat?
Not always. Diossi, he usually sits there, but then Diossi sat there, so. But yeah, Minahan was giving me a hard time on the radio this morning. But I take the Fred Kurtz approach.
Fred Kurtz.
As long as they're talking about me, that's good publicity.
Right. Just get my name right.
That's right.
Pawan from Secaucus, New Jersey writes
Patu.
In, speaking of, I have a question. With Ridley being out, should we get Ben Jarvis Green Ellis back?
Yes.
When Andy asked Bill yesterday on WEEI about Rivas being in man coverage and having other responsibilities on defense, he said each week Rivas might have different responsibilities based on how many receivers are lined up on his side, etc. How was Tlaib used last year? Almost all games, was he in man coverage? Am I right?
Well, Bill said that virtually no corner in the league wants to or plays man all the time.
Yeah, that's a good explanation.
Too tiring, first of all, he said. It's not physically. They run you off on run plays, and then on pass plays they're taking you, and you just can't do it all the time. And he also said you just flat out can't play man all the time. You'd get killed. Was part of his answer.
Yep.
Okay, Paul, go ahead. What did Bill lie about yesterday?
No, it's
he's like rolling his eyes and scoffing, and it's just all these faces.
I think most people that watch understand that what he said is 100% accurate. Like, it's not every single play of every single game.
Right.
Where you're just on one guy. I get it. But if you don't think there's a difference between what we saw the last 2 weeks as opposed to the first four,
I thought he ran with Greg Jennings. I thought Greg Jennings
okay.
was a matchup.
Okay, I'll give you that as more of a an exception in the first 4 weeks. Those three games, I'll say, as opposed to the other three. Now, he's trying to tell you he's doing the same thing all the time. He's mixing it up, zone and man. I get it, but
he didn't really say that.
The percentage,
he said, that's not accurate.
We've done that all year.
Different ways. We've done man. We've done zone in each game we've played. And I think everything Bill said was accurate.
I think it's 100% accurate. But I think in the three games that we're talking about that he wasn't manned up, the percentage was probably like 50-50. Whereas those other three games, the percentage was a lot greater of men than it was in those other three games.
Sure.
That's where he's not telling you the full truth. But it's like when you take these strands of truth and you make a declaration about them. That isn't exactly accurate.
But I think it's the opposite. I think fans are taking the strands of truth and making a declaration. It's always man or it's always zone. And all Bill's saying is it's really never all of anything. It can be more man in a certain game like you're talking about, Paul. But to say that, you know, he's always man is just not accurate.
I don't think that's the point.
Or should be. Or it can be.
But I don't know what the kid from Buffalo was trying to ask. Maybe that's what he was asking, but I don't think that's what he meant.
Oh, well, Bill slapped him down. That was uncalled for, you know, but the greater
point. And I think the question was right. I think he was locked up more man-to-man against A.J. Green than he had been in the other games.
If you were to go back and look at the Bills game, you would say Rivas was with Watkins.
Yes.
There might be a play or two where we missed that he wasn't, but he was with Watkins.
Yeah, but you just couldn't say that to Bill because he's going to go back into his, you know, pretty much the same as what we've done. Man zone. We've mixed it up.
Now, you could also be playing some sort of matchup zone. Now, I'm not going to tell you that, but he could have been running with Watkins but playing zone on that side. So he's always starting off on Watkins,
and
I think that's what Bill's talking about.
Not that it has anything to do with this particular discussion, but it's one of the reasons why I'm leery of the advanced metrics that are starting to really dominate our weekly discussion of football. Because Andy's right. What if it looks like it's man, but it was like some sort of man zone or some different kind of thing like that? And you assign blame for every play or credit,
right?
You know, depending on the outcome of the play.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Brandon Brown or I forget Malachi had the numbers that were from Pro Football Focus, averaging ninth cornerback in the league or whatever it was. In coverage yet? Well, that's according to who,
right?
You know, like, and yet the team that had him didn't want to keep him. Doesn't make any sense.
Very dangerous.
I did like
these advanced metrics. They are. They are.
Well, I think it's becoming a crutch for everybody. I do it. I look at the stuff and
I don't. I watch the games.
But that's when I really look at the game.
I also don't watch the games.
But when I look at the game and it's something very strikingly different than what I remembered seeing is when it really is called into attention.
But I like Doug Marrone went to the podium yesterday and said, when you're minus three in the turnover ratio, you get an 8% chance to win. And I was like, okay. Glad you know, everybody says you lose the turnover battle and you're probably going to lose, but he's getting it down to 8%. Well, he was talking to our guys. Remember those guys we used to have in the paper?
Oh, Gridiron Mines.
Gridiron Mines. You know, really? He was putting it right in a, no, I was being sarcastic. He wasn't talking to
I was
to
wondering
them.
If they were still around.
But that was,
North Carolina.
That was the epitome of the game for Buffalo. Buffalo had every opportunity to win that game, and when you do that, you're going to lose. You go, minus three, you're going to lose.
I'd be spinning. If I'm Doug Marrone, you didn't even play well, and you were hanging with them in the fourth quarter. You can beat that team.
They were with, what was it, 3 minutes left in the game. They're down a touchdown. They're minus three in the turnovers. They had shot themselves in the foot consistently with key penalties at really bad times.
Didn't even try to throw to Sammy Watkins.
Jerry Hughes gets a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty after an unsuccessful third down. Now, it ended up not costing them because that was the field goal that got botched, the bad snap with Aiken. Right. But Buffalo played an incredibly stupid game in that game. And if I'm Doug Marrone, I'm saying we have only ourselves to blame. We just played against the Patriots. They're the best team in the division.
Right.
They own this division, and you guys are as good as they are. Now, something tells me Buffalo's going to go in the toilet after losing that game and putting so much into it.
But, oh, is this their Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're back to that where we're anointing other teams' Super Bowls, but not our own.
Yes, Andy. Exactly.
David writes in, since there's no show on Thursday.
There is a show. It's called the PPGS.
6 o'clock.
Fred, you should make an appearance on the pregame show or postgame show so you can give Beatles some tips on how to talk back to Fathead T-Rex Arms. Instead of trying to tell Andy not to pick on Beetle, I think everyone would really love it if you made an appearance.
I would.
We've been saying that for years. Can we trade you for Eric?
Or could you just come down and be on the pregame show
with
us?
I don't want to pay attention.
Yeah, why don't we check
pre-game.
In with Fred from the press box?
I don't want to pay attention pregame.
Fred's eating.
I got other things.
But he could do like a phoner.
That's what I'm talking about.
We'd trade him for Eric.
Yeah, but then
no,
have
I know,
to pay
I know,
attention.
That's what, no, I know. That's what you just said.
I'm going to swear.
Let's go back to the phones. Marcus is in Miami. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. Long time no here.
What's up?
Hey, Marcus.
What's going on? I was looking at the game a little bit, I guess, after. I was obviously in Miami, and the Packers were here, so don't want to miss a chance to see Aaron Rodgers, which that game was completely epic in live fashion. Obviously, all the Dolphins fans are sick right now. going forward, I mean, what do you think? What is our team? You know, where are we at before the bye? I mean, we always know that, you know, you don't know what you have until halfway through the season. Well, what are we? Are we better than we were this time last year? Or, I mean, what is the 2014?
It's a good question. I honestly, I don't know.
I think you're fine.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
You're a good,
but
good team.
Are we? But the question is, are we better than last year?
No.
Well,
not right now.
I haven't seen that yet, but that doesn't mean that you won't be better.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you'll be better in January than you were last year. If January includes Rob Gronkowski and a healthy Darrell Revis, you will be better.
Yeah, that's true. What's going on over there, Mark?
The hell's going on in the background?
World's largest cocktail.
You hang up on him?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Well, it's too much noise. People don't want to hear that. Let's go to Eddie in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
They just want to hear us.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Eddie!
You just answered Marcus's question right there. Is the team better? Of course they're better, but if Gronk and Revis aren't there in January, it doesn't matter. This team isn't going to go anywhere.
Right.
Today, you need those three stars, Brady, Gronk, and Revis, to be playing at a high level for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Clear cut.
Well, I agree with that. I just don't think that they've played better than they did last year so far. I agree with Andy.
Yeah,
if you have those three guys healthy in the playoffs, you'll be more dangerous than you were last year.
Didn't the Patriots start off 5-0 last year, or what was it?
I think it was 4-0, but they played a couple of sluggish games out of the chute, just like they did this year.
Yeah,
you know they,
right.
You know they had a tough win in Buffalo, an ugly Thursday night win against the Jets.
Right.
They played a little better against Tampa, then they had a good win in Atlanta.
And by the way,
they lost.
Didn't that ugly Thursday night game? Wasn't it a rain game?
Yes, just like it's supposed
to be. This
just like
week
it's
too.
Supposed to be this week.
Yeah, right. Like 90% chance right now of rain.
Yeah.
Hey Andy, I had a question for you.
What's up?
I was listening to WEEI yesterday, and I saw Teddy Bruschi was on.
Yep.
Speaking of Mayo, what were your thoughts of, you know, when Bruschi said that basically that's the, you know, the one guy that they couldn't afford to lose on defense was Mayo, And I just, like, my head was, like, turning when he said that. I was just, what are you talking about? You know, this defense, Mayo's been there since 08. And I get it. He's a good linebacker. He's smart, and he's just not a playmaker. And in today's NFL, that doesn't work. You need playmakers in the NFL.
I don't put him in that category of you can't lose that guy. Revis is the three we talked about. Revis, Brady, Gronkowski are in that category.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Bruschi knows Jerod as a player. He knows the position and he knows the job. I think he puts a lot of value in it. You know, if you're a guy that once held that job, you're going to think that's a really important job. And it is. Don't get me wrong, but I also think it's a job that can be filled by Dante Hightower or somebody else. So I'm not exactly in lockstep with Teddy on his valuation of Mayo.
Yeah. Well, and one last question. I mean, do you kind of think that Bill's kind of to blame to why Jerod isn't a playmaker? I thought that coming out of Tennessee, he was that kind of linebacker we wanted. You know, that fast middle guy that could sideline, and then all of a sudden Bill turns him into a, you know, read and react and like.
I think that one of the reasons why Bill loves Mayo so much is that he is so steady and reliable.
Yes.
And I think that Bill isn't a guy who takes a lot of chances on defense. And so
a
guy like Mayo fits right in.
I think if Mayo were in Seattle or San Francisco, I would probably be talking about a guy who's big, thick, fast, and runs people over.
Bingo.
A more aggressive type player.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
That sucks.
All right, Eddie, thanks for the call.
That sucks.
Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Muy bien. Excellent.
Jeez. Well, te quiero mucho, Andy. Just kidding.
Su madre.
Very nice. I like it. Great win this week. I thought that we answered a lot of questions in terms of what type of strength we have mentally with this team, which is great news. I'm happy that if we want to trade Brady, I think it's the time to do it because his value is higher and higher and higher. Just kidding.
It's true. He's rolling.
Yes, he's rolling. So what do you guys make of the fact that according to his contract, I think there is a certain date that that the organization has to consider before being on the hook for cap space and OO cap obligation in the future? And then the other question I had was, you know, how do we, of course we cannot replace Mayo because of the intelligence that he has and the leadership that he has within the team. Who do you think that as an aggregate within the players that we already have right now can actually step up to the plate besides obviously, you know, Collins? And then the last question is, do we think that we're going to be bring the law firm back at any point before the trade deadline?
It's possible. I'm sure they're.
I wouldn't rule it out.
I'm sure they're talking to him now, seeing if he's in shape.
He might be done. I mean, he was a plotter anyway, and he was 3-something last year.
When a plotter loses a step, he's done.
Right.
That's what I think we brought that up a couple of weeks ago on the pregame. You know,
probably
because the fact that he was not picked up by anybody. Even this late, you know, six weeks into the season. So maybe they just felt like, well, the reason he averaged 3 yards a carry last year was because he couldn't get through the holes anymore.
Right.
We're talking about Trent Richardson like that.
Thanks. Trent Richardson sucks.
He just sucks.
Through.
He's been a little better
sucks.
This year.
I watch him. He was biggest disappointment ever. He sucks.
Well.
I think he got fat and slow and indecisive.
He's got thick legs.
Yeah, they were talking. I think it was.
He used to be a dynamic runner.
Was it Polian or. Someone was making a comment that their holes are there, and he just doesn't get through them fast enough.
Right. I don't know what happened to him.
Let's go to Dan in Virginia. Hey,
Dan. We didn't answer any of Olivier's questions.
Well, we talked about law firm. The aggregate, I would agree with the linebackers. It's not just Collins. I think Hightower has a big plate, and Andy talked about Deontay Skinner. A guy that we didn't know anything about. We didn't even get a chance to see him in training camp because he was on NFI all summer. He played very little in the preseason.
Maybe sneaking him in. Didn't want people to see what they had. He's really a future All-Pro.
Easy, Jerry. All of these guys are going to have to do stuff. And what we saw on Sunday in an emergency basis was a lot of Patrick Chung playing down in the box. And I think that part of that is how well Revis plays, and you don't have to worry about having safety help
and
over
Chung
the top.
Chung did pretty well supporting the run. He just didn't do well.
He always has.
Yeah, I was going to say, he does better doing that than he does playing safety.
And there is absolutely no relevance to the Brady contract. They're not doing anything with Brady.
It's guaranteed, just to let Olivier know.
Week 17, it's guaranteed.
Once he's on the roster at the end of the year, the last 3 years become guaranteed. Actually, in my opinion, makes him become more easy to deal if you wanted to. And the numbers are an average of $8 million per.
If you want to cut him, you can save cap money because you take those 3 years of guarantees off the cap.
Right.
But they're not cutting him. They're not going to trade him by the trade. So it's basically irrelevant.
Dan, thanks for holding on. What's going on?
No problem, guys. as one of the other foreign callers, I just want to say that I'm really liking what Olivier is bringing to the calls lately.
It's sucking up, you Aussie.
But before I get on to my questions, I just want to provide a clarification on my call last week. Paul Simpkins said that I was having a shot at you guys. And I just want to say that Fred was correct. I wasn't having a shot at you guys at all.
I don't remember, but okay.
A certain member of the national media that I was criticizing for, as Fred saw the unnamed sources and the excessive patting on the back for pointing out the bleeding obvious. So, but on to my questions. After the game this past week, the Pats once again got burned a lot by Chandler, as they have by other tight ends in the past. So my first question is, and Paul touched on this a bit earlier, what's your anticipation of what Brandon Browner might do against other tight ends in the future? There's a few mobile tight ends coming up in the Pats schedule this year, so I'd be curious to see what you think Browner will do against them, if he'll be particularly tasked to do that. And my other question is, I hate getting down on players, particularly guys who do the work and come in and seem to be decent players. But with LaFell coming on and with Tim's having a good start, I won't, as other fans have anointed him as the Pats answer to Larry Fitzgerald, but I think he had certainly an exciting start on the weekend. If those guys come along, what's the role for Dobson going forward? And is he going to, Amendola, find himself in the outs a little bit at the end of the season if LaFell and Tim's really sort of come along?
Well, if both of those guys come along and if Tim's becomes more than just a four plays a game deep threat or something like that, then yeah, now you're talking about you filled outside receiver slots. And yeah, Dobson is a disappointment. And would we have him accelerating down
Taylor Price way?
But I'm not ready to kick him to the curb.
I'm not either. But it is.
You had to kick Amendola to the curb.
It is an interesting development to me to see Tim's accelerate past Dobson. I mean, he was a bigger part of the offense going into the game on Sunday. I'm not talking about making one catch. I'm talking about they had Tim's a bigger part of the game plan in that game going into the game than they did for Dobson.
Right.
And that was telling to me. Andy and I talked about it when it happened. Now, one of the plays that I think Brady ended up having to check down, I think was a long ball to Dobson that he must have been covered on and didn't like the look. But, then again, Dobson could say, well, Tim's was covered on both of his long balls, too, and you threw it anyway, and he made a great catch.
Yep. So give me a shot. Right.
So I don't
Brady
know.
Brady says, I have confidence in Tim's.
That's part of what I'm getting at here. Tim's came off the suspended list. They activated him, and they immediately put him in a role that was bigger than what they had for Dobson so far. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility yet.
Yeah.
And this in his little role, Dobson jumped off sides.
Yeah, this is this could be the end for Dobson if he doesn't start making some plays making some contributions.
And the caller earlier didn't add him to the second round list, right? He added Tavon Wilson to the second round list. If you add him, now we really got to unload those second round picks.
Tony says, give a Hall of Fame pocket passer, alleged by some ignorant media members to be in the decline, time to plant his back leg and look past his initial read, and receivers who have time to get open and do get open, and he prospers. What a revelation to some media members.
So if everybody else plays great, he can be good. Okay.
I figured Paul wouldn't let that.
Who was that?
Tony.
No, that's actually the email that I'm talking about, in all seriousness. That's what I was talking about a half hour ago. If you don't think he played better Sunday, okay. I mean, I can't create an opinion for people. In my opinion, he played much better Sunday than he played in the first month of the season.
I guess another Tony, this one from Toronto, was listening to EEI2, and He says you should go after Minahan. He took a shot at you saying you were playing tonsil hockey and playing footsie with Bill yesterday.
He was.
Please go off on this clown. How does he still have a job?
No kidding. The only person I was playing tonsil hockey with was his right. wife.
We can make fun of each other, but no one else can make fun of
us. That is true. I make fun of Andy.
Right.
You're not allowed
Screw
to.
Screw you, Minahan. What have you ever done?
We only let other people make fun of Eric.
All you've ever done is revive a dying talk radio station.
Chad from Atlanta. Tim Wright scores a touchdown, not used again. Brian Timms scores a touchdown, not used again. Why were these guys not in play after they clearly were productive earlier in the game? Were they injured? Did they do something wrong? And I still can't stand seeing number 80. Amendola, the friendly ghost, is irrelevant. Brian Timms has now already produced more than Amendola. I don't get it. Can somebody please explain why these players aren't used after they make plays?
Doesn't Amendola single-handedly won a game last year. Brian Timms is not
doing it. I'm talking about this year.
Doesn't Bill preach, we do what's best for the team? It seems like limiting Wright and Timms wouldn't be what's best for the team.
All right.
They scored 37 points.
Yeah, let's. The offense couldn't have been better than it was in the second half. I mean, they had clutch
Wasn't
drive.
Brady like 15 of 17?
Clutch drive after clutch drive. 10 different guys caught passes. We're really Brian Timms, by all means. That catch that he made was ridiculous. Tim Wright, on first and goal from the one, he leaks out and catches a pass because no one covers him, and we need to get him more playing time because of that?
I was a little disappointed that he didn't continue.
He wasn't a part of the offense.
To evolve. You know, he had the nice game the week earlier. I was wondering, and he didn't continue to evolve. That would be a minor disappointment.
Do you think that's one of those deals where, you know, we show this guy's going to be a part of the offense, and they're going to be looking for him, so we're not going to go to him this week.
Oh, certainly could be.
Yeah, I mean, that's sometimes I get frustrated with that.
Speaking
mentality.
Of him, I wanted to ask a question. You've been very critical of Field Yates for his prediction that Wright would catch 78 passes and 700 yards.
80.
Whatever. Now,
I just thought it was a little presumptuous to say that he was going to catch 80 passes.
Say he comes on. You know, say the last eight games of the season, he catches 45 passes. Will you say Field Yates was right and it just, you know, took him a little while to get his footing, or are you going to say no?
If he catches 45 passes in the last eight games
something
of
like
the
that.
Year?
Yeah. Will you
I would say
you
he
know,
was onto something.
Okay.
I would consider that being he was more right
I don't
than wrong.
I think if the time comes, he'll say that.
Well, you know what? You remind me at the time, because I think that, first of all, I will say this. Part of the reason why I thought it was a ridiculous comment was because he was coming in 5 days before the start of the season, Andy.
And that's why I'm asking you this.
Do you know what I mean?
Because I think
so
that is a fair argument.
That's why he's not going to get 90
to 80
catches.
When Field Yates made the prediction, he knew the guy was going to be on a new team. It might take a little while. That he knew that when he said 80. So that's why I'm asking
But
you.
That's part of the reason why I thought it was ridiculous. But listen, he caught how many? 54 last year?
54, 56.
So he had the ability to catch the ball. He was a college wide receiver, so we knew that.
Yes.
But to me, to make a leap of a guy who you trade for just before the start of the season is going to catch 80 balls in an offense that includes Gronkowski at that position was kind of asking for too much. Now, if he catches 45, that's probably going to mean that something happened to Gronkowski in the last half of the season, and I don't want to see that happen.
He caught 5 last week.
Yeah, and he has, what, 8 or 9 for the year?
No, but I'm just saying, if he has games like that, 8 games, 5 passes, that's 40. You're in the 45
Yeah,
range.
I don't think you can do that every game.
Brian,
but if he does, to your point, I would say...
Why do you hate Mike Wright? Tim.
I actually like Tim Wright a lot, and I got a chance
His
to talk to
not
him.
Tim.
I had a chance to talk to him last week, and I hadn't really had a chance to do that. Seems like a really nice guy. I think he's pretty athletic.
Me
seems
too.
Like he has soft hands.
Good speed.
Pretty good speed for that position, absolutely.
Just there's only so many balls to go around.
Well,
but again,
that's part of it. Like, if Gronkowski's out there,
right,
then, you know, I guess him and Hernandez both caught, you know, Hernandez was in the 70s, right?
Right.
With receptions, so I guess it's possible.
Brian's in Richmond, Virginia. First, I wanted to let you all know that a new level of hell has been spawned. It's called the average American workplace with 10 or more Cowboys fans. My God. They're just waiting, huh? They're having a field day, those Cowboys fans.
Send them to my Around the NFL this week,
I mean,
on the show.
Number one in the power rankings now in a lot of these polls. And,
not the real ones. Not the real ones.
Oh. Anyway, apologies. What is an all-pro? I'm sure it's different than a pro bowler, as this just seems like it's been rendered meaningless over the years. anyone want to quickly explain what an all-pro
is? It's a person
is?
Who makes the Associated Press all-pro team. First team, one player at every position,
right.
as voted on by a panel of 50 writers.
Right.
It means you're the best at your position. There's no, well, this guy made it, but then he was replaced by this guy. It's the best 22 starting players in the National right. Football League in a given season.
And just to clarify, Andy said one player at every position. Obviously, there's two guards, two tackles, two wide receivers, stuff like that, but... Yeah, it's one team, not by conference. It's not an AFC, NFC thing. It's the best players at the respective positions.
So Vince Young, who was once a pro bowler, never got within any closer to being an all-pro than I have.
Sam in San Diego says, I don't know if you guys watch ESPN's First Take, but yesterday Stephen A. Smith was talking about how apparent it was that the Bills' defense was specifically targeting Gronk's legs. When he said that everyone on
that's
the panel...
That's the guy you want on your side, Stephen A. Smith.
He said everyone on the panel agreed that they saw the same thing and it was apparent. since I live in San Diego, I couldn't watch the game, but did you guys see the same thing? And what did you think of it? Thanks for reading my email. No, I mean, there was one play where Gronk had the ball and there were like three guys taking shots at him. They could have easily taken him out right there, but nobody did. So I don't think they were going at his legs.
Big guys get tackled low.
I think if you try to tackle Rob Gronkowski anywhere but the knees, you're insane.
You're smashed and he's dashed.
Because you're not going to get him down.
Really? I mean, Fred, you're as sensitive and homerific as anyone. Do you think people are targeting Rob Gronkowski's knees more so than they target any other big man or whatever?
Brian in Essex, though, says a caller insinuates Bills were targeting Patriots players' knees. Paul, it's called tackling.
Fred?
Definition of tackling, stop the forward progress of the ball carrier by seizing them and knocking them to the ground. Words, Paul, have meanings.
Nowhere
in the accepted definition of tackle is the word knee involved. This isn't to say the Bills were doing any such thing. Can't attest I was at a wedding during the game. Just pointing out Paul's confusion over words that have been in use since around the 15th century.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one.
He's such an angry old man.
I thought that was funny, the little twist on that. Words have meaning.
I thought you were going to call him a little twit or something.
No, TJ, you had a little twist on it.
TG and NJ, yeah, Paulie, you picked Buffalo to piss off the team to motivate them for the win.
I did not.
Rodney has taught you well. Your cover is blown, Paulie. You're a closet homer. Admit it. Come on, Paulie, pick the Jets this week. You can justify it with the injuries and the short week.
I can't justify the injuries because the Jets don't have any players.
They got a lot of guys injured, too.
Yeah.
And you know what they don't have? A quarterback.
Right. Trey in Memphis.
I'd love to be able to tell you that it was some sort of, back channel secret pick.
No, he just hates
the
Patriots.
I really thought the Patriots were going to have a hard time. And, I think it was a good game.
Right. Now, you've just proven me right the last couple weeks when I took the Bengals and Bills.
Yeah. Hey, Trey. Especially the Bengals.
What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Well, I'm not going to say a whole lot about the offense right now, but the defense, man, we still have an issue. In the secondary, there's still just Reavers and other guys. I don't know why. It seems like McCourty is playing a lot of center field, which I really don't understand. I'm going to call out a list of tight ends that we are about to see that are far better than any tight end that we've seen thus far. Okay, we got Kobe Fleener from the Colts coming up, Julius Thomas from the Broncos, Corliss from the Packers, Martellus Bennett from the Bears, Gates from the Chargers, and Pettigrew and Ebron from the Lions. Now, you're talking about some guys that, they could wreck a game, man, for us that we don't fix this problem. So, how do you guys think we're going to fix this problem? Who could we use?
Paul, I'll let you handle it since it's been a problem for about 5 years.
Yeah, I think tight ends are tough matchups for a lot of teams. And I think that you're seeing that. And, it was kind of eye-opening listening to you rattle off all the names. Pretty much everybody's got a pretty good tight end nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It was a position that was kind of dying, before the Gronkowski-Hernandez era here, don't you think?
You know why?
Basketball?
No. Remember when we talked about safety was a dying position? You get overrated safeties, they get drafted high, they're not as good. I don't think there are a lot of good safeties in the National Football League, and I think the way you take advantage of teams without good safeties is with good tight ends.
Yeah, and listen, I think you got to bracket some of these guys with linebacker and safety help. I think that you I don't think the Patriots have the pre- – I mean, you asked why Devin McCourty is playing center field. That's what he's good at. I think Devin McCourty is a good
– But he's not even shadowing. I mean, he's not shadowing the tight ends at all.
No, I don't think he should be.
He's not shadowing the tight ends.
I don't think he should be.
I mean, you'd like to have Tavon Wilson. I've said it a million times. Tavon Wilson looks and acts and should be the athlete, the big guy, the safety that you say, this guy can do some things against tight ends. It's not – I mean, he doesn't do it. Like, he's never shown the ability to do it, but that's the idea of that guy.
And if you take McCourty...
can we use Brandon Browner for that purpose?
Well, we talked about that. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
We'll see if we can get him active in a game first.
Right. Let's get him on the field.
But it's also an issue with, okay, you go to Chicago. You have Bennett. Okay, you want to take... Well, you also have Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall.
Well, that's my...
So if
you want
Browner
to take McCourty
is as
out,
good as he is supposedly is, if you believe Sherman, that Browner is like a number one corner.
He better be able to cover one of those guys.
Shouldn't he and Revis be taking away the receivers?
Right.
So now we want to use him. So now we're saying Dennard, well, if I'm the Bears, I won that. That little personnel battle, I won. Because I have a receiver on a little corner that's not as good, Alphonso Dennard, that I'm going to go at all day long.
And the other part of that is if you want, like Trey was talking about McCourty, if you want to take McCourty out of the middle of the field and employ him on tight ends, good luck against some of those guys because you're not going to win every battle. And McCourty has been pretty good at safety. I don't think he's a great safety. I don't think he's a special all-pro kind of player like a lot of people around here think he is. I don't think he's that good. But he's done a pretty good job as a center fielder the last 2 years, I think.
And when was the only time this year they gave up a huge play? If I'm right. Wasn't it when McCourty went down and they went to Sanu, past Dennard? They got that deep ball, that long pass.
Oh, McCourty wasn't in there.
Wasn't
yeah.
in the game.
I mean, I don't know
so
if that's
having
the only.
McCourt,
I don't know if that's the
just
only.
Just go
deep
with
ball,
it. Why are you going to question it?
Well, I didn't know. I had no idea what play you were talking about. I couldn't narrow it down.
Oh, suddenly Andy remembered a play Paul didn't.
Thanks for the call,
no,
Trey.
As soon as you said Mohamed Sanu, now I know the play you're talking about, and you're right.
They caught him Sanusing.
Daron Harmon was late.
Ian writes in, I was at the Buffalo game and had a great time with my 12-year-old son. We left Buffalo Monday evening and ran into Booby Dixon and another Bills player in the security line at the airport.
Nice.
Is heading out of town Monday night something they should be doing? I know Monday is a rest day, but shouldn't they be working in town Tuesday? Now, actually, Tuesday is their day off.
Well, do they have a game?
Who, Bills?
Buffalo. They don't, and I have no idea. I'm just asking. I don't know what the schedule
yeah,
is.
But
are they on a bye week?
Tuesday is the player's day off.
Okay. I'm going to ask it again. Are they on a bye week, so they are off?
Yeah, but usually even on a bye week, you give the players off like Thursday.
You know Tuesday's not a league day off.
No, but it's usually the play.
There's a lot of teams that do it differently. I know one team had a really crazy schedule. I want to say Philbin has like Fridays is the player's day off.
Yeah, I know, but anyone in the AFC East does it the way Bill does it.
He just said Philbin doesn't do it that way. He's in the AFC East.
Yeah.
Now, this was Sunday or Monday?
Monday night. Now, he could have been preparing for Tuesday day off, and maybe he was going somewhere.
Right.
I don't think that's that very many guys would leave town.
Maybe he has a Roman Pfeiffer thing where he's got a baby mama kid situation, and he's got a special.
That's why I was asking if maybe it was a bye week, and maybe he was using it as an opportunity to go somewhere. Because it would strike me as sort of tough to go somewhere that you needed to take a plane to get to for a Tuesday day off.
Here comes Booby Dixon.
Dixon Booby.
Hamza in Toronto. I was both encouraged and concerned by the win. Brady's deep accuracy and confidence were night and day from where they were in September. What I really liked was his eyes were always downfield instead of, you know, checking to see if Jordan Debbie was about to step on his foot. I have also not seen him throw that ball to Timms that well in a long time. On the other hand, getting shredded by Kyle Orton is discouraging. We all thought Revis taking the number one out of a game would mean the other team would struggle to score 20-plus points. Well, if a number 2-4 destroy the rest of our secondary, then they'll score 30 anyway. And we've got teams coming up with a lot more than one weapon, Chicago, Denver, Indy, Green Bay, etc. Personally, I would put Browner on the field if only because it pushes Dennard into covering the number 3 receiver and therefore takes that responsibility from Ryan and or Chung. You guys are both right on Mayo. His loss to me is like losing a general in a war. He may not do much fighting himself, but the troops are always encouraged when they look over and see the general is still alive. Not to mention, if Hightower takes over his job, that limits Hightower's effectiveness in the pass rush, as we saw last year. I would rather Collins replace Mayo and Hightower do what he's been doing. But I don't think Collins can do that, do you?
Well, he did Sunday.
Yeah, but long term?
I don't want to do that because I think it's a waste of his skills. Yeah. I think he's too good, too athletic to be stuck in the middle with the green dot calling all the signals. I think that he's too fast for that, and I would rather see him, as one of the outside guys. But, you know, Bill thinks differently. He's had him as a 3-4 inside linebacker, most of the year. Listen, the injuries are a big problem. The injuries there, because that's such a thin spot. With Hightower and Mayo out, that's a really thin area, and I'm not sure they have enough real NFL players to do it conventionally. They might have to do some mix and match stuff.
David in Millis, Mass, wants to know, what do you guys make of the Patriots running on third and long pretty much 100% of the time? I've noticed they've been doing this for years now, and it drives me nuts. Do you remember Belichick being this conservative back in the Super Bowl years?
I don't ever remember him being as conservative as they have been in that situation this year. However, I will say, much to my happiness, when the game was on the line, Freddie,
yeah,
they did not do that.
Right.
On 3rd and 16, Brady hit Gronkowski for 17 yards in that last drive. They could have been easily content with an 8-point lead to hand the ball to Vereen for 2 yards like they had been earlier in the game twice on 3rd and long. They could have done that again, punted the ball away, and made Kyle Orton go the length of the field to try to tie the game. And he didn't. They had Brady drop back and fire a pass over the middle to Gronkowski for a key first down. So maybe that gives them a little confidence in some of these long yarded situations. And depending on the spot on the field, maybe they'll be a little bit more aggressive, because I hate it. Listen, if you're inside your 20 and whatever, 3rd and 17, by all means. But there's no reason at the 40-yard line on 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15, to have to hand the ball off as many times as they have this year.
Yeah, it's a give-up play.
It has been a give-up play. Just because some of them are work doesn't mean it's right.
Eric's here with a yellow mustard V-neck, I think.
Good.
Is that mustard?
Fred. Yeah, well, that's like
yellow mustard.
Yellow mustard.
Golden's.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Or French's.
Yeah, Grey Poupon?
French's.
French's.
Grey Poupon? Yeah.
That's actually
Grey Poupon is more like
I was actually thinking of French's when I said that. I don't know why I said
French's
Golden's.
Yellow mustard V-neck.
How's practice?
Good condiment talk right there.
How's practice?
3-2-1, Eric bitches.
About?
Well, I was reading on Twitter that they got kicked out early, and like 20 players weren't even out there yet.
Oh, yeah, you get used to those things after a while.
Eric's had a busy morning. Rex Ryan, Tom Brady, practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a walkthrough in the stadium, bowl, as they like to call it, and we didn't get to finish attendance, but notable in his presence was Brandon Browner.
Oh.
Notable in his absence was... Everyone else?
You know. Tom Brady.
Yeah, we didn't get to see him.
Brady wasn't out there yet?
Not
in all seriousness?
In all seriousness, actually, yeah.
Wow.
That's funny.
So Browner was out there. How does his ankle look?
He was walking very well. He was
walking.
It's
hard to know.
But yeah, with him it is. Right. The way he's got those it's not bow-legged, it's actually the other way around. It's there.
Yeah, arrow-legged?
Knock-kneed. Knock-kneed.
Yeah, we added a lot of knock-kneed guys this year.
Yep. That's not what I'm looking for.
No, that doesn't seem like that's what... You know, they say, like, the bubble is a good sign. You get a nice big butt. That's a
good
sign.
Any of the concussion guys, Stork or Connolly?
Didn't see either of those two.
Okay.
No.
Easily?
No.
No? Okay.
No, none of the guys...
That with a grain of salt.
Well, yeah.
They weren't out there yet.
Right.
So. Right.
But...
Well, we don't know.
We just don't know,
Freddie.
Did see Dante Hightower.
Nice.
Was a game time decision in Buffalo.
Yeah, we wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Did you see his actual workout in Buffalo?
We got there just at the tail end of it.
But was he limping? Was there any obvious?
He didn't look 100% to me.
He had a big brace on his.
He had a huge brace, and that was
ACL
like,
brace.
Yeah, it looked like one of those. But
you're a bad person.
Yeah. But he wasn't limping. But
he didn't look comfortable.
No, and he looked really disappointed when
he didn't look
up.
Comfortable. And as Freddie said, he looked really disappointed that he wasn't going to be able to play.
Now, here's my question following up to that.
Because he did practice all week.
Yes.
I mean, it was on a limited basis, of course, but he did practice.
We talked about this before you got here. Disappointed. Everybody was in agreement. He looked dejected leaving the field. Do you think it was disappointment because he was trying to lobby to play and was overruled, or disappointed because he knew he couldn't play?
I think it's both. I think he wanted to play, and I think he...
Put yourself inside
Hightower's
box.
It's an impossible.
It's an impossibility.
It's an impossible thing from the press box to determine what was going through another guy's mind.
But if I'm
or anywhere else, you didn't have to be in the press box or anywhere else.
If you were on the field, you could have determined what was going in his head.
I would assume that at the very least, it was disappointment that he was ruled out.
by you know external factors. But I also think that most players, when they're hurt, want to play anyway.
Yeah.
And aren't really thinking about the long-term well-being. They just think about, hey, it's game day. I want to be out there. To hell with the future consequences of, you know, maybe hurting myself more. So I think it's a combination of both, Paul, yeah. Honestly.
Eric, we were wondering, do you think Mayo should sit out the 2015 season? A couple seasons have ended with injuries now. Do we need to protect?
different set of circumstances.
Well, what's different?
The
Gronk's better. That's what's different.
No. I think in Gronk's case, he suffered. Like in Mayo tore what, a pectoral, last year,
and we still don't really know what
pectoral's
this is.
I think it's pretty safe to say it's a right knee injury.
No. I know, but ACL, MCL, oh, ACL, okay. MCL, LCL, PCL, nerve.
Right.
I think it's
right.
Patella,
it was borderline fascinating to me yesterday to have Adam Schefter, who was always at the forefront of everything related to the Patriots, definitively say that Stephen Ridley tore his ACL and MCL and was out for the year, and that Gerard Mayo was out for the year with a lower leg injury that he said specifically he was not able to determine exactly what the nature of the injury was,
but
other than
quote,
it was lower leg.
And it was really bad
or very bad.
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating.
I mean,
everybody tells Adam Schefter everything. Why couldn't he find out exactly what this
maybe
was?
Maybe they don't know yet. Maybe it's not your typical clean
right.
ACL, MCL.
Right.
There's other...
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I'm figuring. They, like,
is it like the Robert Edwards thing?
I was
like,
just going to bring him up, Robert Edwards.
But it didn't
Edwards.
Look yeah. like it to me.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Like, I don't know. It just... I find it a little strange.
I actually thought when I saw the replays, my first thought before we had, you know, got to see that they were working on the knee, my first thought was the way he got his back bent, I thought maybe he got like one of those Gronk injuries.
Yeah, he
with
got
the
squished
back.
Like
he got
bug,
buckled under.
Sort
he
of
did,
from
yeah.
like top to bottom accordion.
Yeah. I was
that's
worried
why
it was
I
a neck or a back.
But we
or
heard
something.
We heard, you know, some insider info that
or maybe it's a combination.
When
of
the
things.
Trainer
yeah.
and the doctor ran out, Mayo said, "You don't even need to bother testing me. You know,
he knew.
The cart.
He knew.
Just get the
yeah.
cart.
Well, I mean, you know your own body better than anybody, any doctor.
That's why I kind of wondered patella, if he tore his patella maybe. Or maybe he tore his patella
well,
and his ACL.
Cruz, that's what
which
happened
I've
with
never
Cruz
heard of,
the other night. But when he was in severe, severe pain, you know, screaming agony.
Right.
I mean, Mayo, maybe he's tougher.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
but
some tougher. People have different pain thresholds.
I thought Mayo looked like he was in significant pain.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, Cruz was – they said –
yes. No, Cruz was –
whoever
screaming.
Was the sideline report, I don't know, the Tracy Wolfson maybe. I don't know who it was, but said that she'd never heard a football player scream like that. Like,
I'm sure Victor Cruz is really glad she said that.
Yeah.
I've thanks. Never heard a bitch scream like that on a football field.
Thanks, Trace.
That
did look bad, though.
Yeah.
Oh, thing. Yeah. And but – a lot of times when you don't see the obvious bending of the knee in a direction,
right.
the patella is the thing that goes. But I'll be honest with you, I don't believe I've ever heard. Have you guys of like an ACL and a patella?
No, not in the same injury.
I can't
injury,
recall.
No. Yeah.
Imagine if it was that. That wouldn't be good. Because those are like two of the major.
Well, who was the other guy? Hartley Dykes?
Yeah.
That cracked his kneecap or something like that? And
he had
never was the same
yeah.
after that?
He had something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a kneecap.
Heartless
yeah.
Dykes.
Yeah.
No.
LaShawn got himself beaten up at a club in Providence.
Great
believe,
interview
right?
with yeah. Steve Grogan. Remember when we used to do those interviews,
yeah.
Freddie?
Yeah.
And he said, we asked him, you know, about his favorite teammates. And any teammates that you didn't like? No, you know, no, I got along with all of them. Let me rephrase that. Hartley Dykes. And it was like in
oh.
the middle of a sentence.
Really?
Middle of a sentence. He goes, I pretty much got along with everybody. No, that's not right. Hartley Dykes. It was unbelievable. And
yeah.
Steve Grogan is one of the most down-to-earth,
yeah.
friendly guys ever. So I can only imagine how much of a pain in the you-know-what Dykes
imagine
was.
Imagine if you asked me that question, if I were the player. How long you got here? I'd start rattling
any,
them off.
And
it's easier for me to name the guys I did like.
Any of your favorite teammates? No, not really. No, let me rephrase that. There was one guy that was all right. He scraped a C.
Yeah.
LaShawna from West Palm
you
Beach.
You love that phrase.
Paul, you're
100%
right. Brady has played better the last two games. I'm also in agreement with Fred that Brady's issues were about 80% mental and 20% physical. He overcame the self-pity that bogged him down in the first 4 weeks and regained the leadership role that he squandered earlier.
That could be
accurate. Squandered.
Yeah. I mean, I don't – all I'm saying is that I don't think he played as well in the first four games as he did the last two.
Oh.
And people, you know, sort of trying to make me eat crow because of that.
Well, maybe, Paul – he's actually heard what you've said, that he fades and he doesn't work in the, it doesn't work out for him in the postseason. So he took the first month off, you know, what everybody wanted Gronk to do. He's ready now for a run in January.
Did I say he looks tired in the postseason?
I don't know what you say.
Have I said
you
that?
Change it depending on where
have
you
I said
are.
The bad performances in the postseason due to fatigue?
Revenge. He's trying to do with Brady the same that people did to Bledsoe. Run him out of town. This is a long-term revenge play.
That's inaccurate because I didn't want to run Bledsoe out of town either. I don't
know.
I don't want
to run out of town.
So why would
did.
I want to run Brady out of town?
Because you hate him.
The people that love Brady.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
In your
yeah,
world,
like
do.
You believe that. Like you freaking believe that.
I know it's that you don't
revenge.
Believe.
Because yeah, you're a pacifist. You never look for revenge or payback. I'd still be pounding his ass if my brother hadn't pulled me off him.
But what does that have to do with the guy? I know you don't believe it, but it's
very bitter.
What does that have to do with a guy that I like?
You're very bitter about the
way. I didn't like the way that Bledsoe was treated, so why would I want to treat Brady like
because
that?
Because you want to get back
like
at the people.
I do like him.
This is like
that's
one of those
the whole point.
This is a movie where you've forgotten there's even a feud, but this guy didn't forget in like 15 years later,
right.
He comes back for revenge.
I mean, again, you can make yourself feel better by making stuff up.
Doesn't make me feel anything.
I like
just
Brady.
Just doing good radio.
I've always liked Brady from the moment that he was a rookie.
No.
We did a rookie diary.
I know
him.
You like Brady, but you hate the people who ran Bledsoe out of town.
Yes. So why would
right.
I want to see that happen again?
Because
two wrongs
because
don't
those,
make a white.
Those people that ran Bledsoe out of town.
If it was
were
like
all
Michael
Brady
Bishop,
supporters.
Then.
So you're getting back at the Brady supporters. You're
but I am one of them. I am a Brady supporter.
I'm only kidding.
No, but I'm trying to
so
give
serious.
You the difference of the whole thing. If it were Michael Bishop, then it would be accurate. I'd be on the bandwagon to try to get him out of town. I hated Michael Bishop. He annoyed me. I didn't like him, and I didn't like the reaction that he got. Like he was capable of doing something.
Let's go.
Is that more what you were looking
so
for?
So much hate in that heart, Paul.
I hated Michael Bishop.
Let's go back to the phones. Belarco
hated
Hartley Dykes.
I hated Michael Bishop.
Hey, Belarco.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Polo.
I actually had like a couple of quick questions. First of all, I like watching those shows on Patriots.com, All Access and PFWT.
Oh, good. Thank you for watching. You're the one.
Yeah, since this is a short week, are you still going to do them?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. We just filmed our PFW show this morning. It'll be on Patriots.com probably first thing Thursday morning or late Wednesday night. Yeah.
And All Access will be live, right, Paul? Now, that's not live on the site, is it?
Oh, yeah. We'll put it live on the site.
Oh.
Yeah.
We will?
Yeah. We always do.
All right. And the second question was that since the Jets secondary is already under such heavy criticism, now that D. Milliner's gone, like, what do you think is going to be the impact?
Not much. Milliner stunk, and they haven't been good all year, so they continue to be not good.
The weather might be more of an impact.
It
the secondary
be.
Has been terrible. The defense has been good.
Yeah,
supposed
yeah.
To rain buckets
but Milliner has been
Thursday.
Not good. And the,
Milliner hasn't played.
The secondary has been terrible.
No, I don't want to let details get in your way.
I was actually like, I didn't think he was playing.
He's played
I thought
like,
he was hurt.
I think he's played like 1.5 games.
Well, he said he was the best cornerback in football.
Yes, that is true.
That would be the only.
And
yeah,
Belarco
said that. Yeah, all right.
I'm done with you, clowns.
That would really suck though if it's a washout because that just is going to affect everybody.
Well,
I know.
I don't know if it'll suck. We'll see.
Ah.
If it leads to like Gronk and Devlin dominating, yeah. I'll be happy.
Plus. It won't affect Brady. He can play in bad weather. He's done it a million times. Geno Smith can't protect the ball in good weather. Imagine how many picks he's going to throw in the rain.
Plus, he heard Bill say it's Wednesday, and he has no idea when they're playing.
Larry,
he wants to know if we're in the same time zone.
Larry's in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hello. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Great.
All right, guys. This is one of the tests that we have to find out if our offensive line is really fixed up. That's how I feel.
True dat. Muhammad Wilkerson, one of the best defensive linemen in football. He's coming for you.
And I believe these next three games is gonna tell us where we're gonna be, in playoff situation. When I mean playoff situation, like how we gonna come up for the moment, because we have with the Chicago with the receivers, we're gonna find out what the defense is made of with, and also we have Peyton Manning because Chicago quarterback is iffy.
Yeah, they really should beat the Jets and the Bears.
Yeah.
Now, Denver be a huge test.
Yeah, this is going to be a real test, I feel like. And then just defensive line, that's where we'll find out if Brady's going to be upright during the playoff times. You know, things do change, but, you know, at the foremost, I could have a grade on the Patriots. That's what I feel.
I don't think Chicago's going to be easy.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think it's a great matchup for this pass defense.
I think that's going to be an easy game. I really do.
You think everybody stinks? He thinks everybody stinks.
They're all tomato cans.
Right. You think it's a bad matchup. I think it's a great matchup. It's a defense that has lost like 8 starters, and they've been absolutely decimated. That's exactly
how
the kind of defense that this struggling.
And we have one guy who can cover.
And Forte.
Right. But that doesn't mean I say that Chicago stinks. I didn't say Chicago stinks.
Well,
I
you're
think
on
it's
the
a
record
matchup.
You said it's going to be an easy game.
I think it's going to be an easy game.
So then the Patriots must be world beaters.
Against that team, I think it's a great matchup. Yeah,
okay.
I do.
All right.
I don't.
I think the things that I'm more worried about the Jets defense causing problems than the Chicago defense causing problems.
Right.
And the
but
Jets
we're
have
about the
no
Chicago
chance.
Offense.
Yeah, I don't really care about
okay.
that.
Okay. But they're not going to be able to put up 30 or 40 points against you.
I don't know.
How do you know?
I feel like this defense is good enough to hold them down.
I feel like Darrell Revis is good enough.
Playing the role of Fred Kirsch.
The rest of the defense, I'll let you know.
Well, that's a big part of it, don't you think? When you have one of those guys that you feel pretty comfortable taking out.
But I can't cover the rest of the field. I've struggled covering a lot of things. Athletic backs out of the backfield have
and
given
you
me
also
problems.
Have a
Matt
very...
Forte is one of the best dual-purpose backs in the National Football League.
And you also
they
have a very turnover-prone
end.
Quarterback playing against a team that's taken the ball away.
But when he's
sure,
good,
constantly.
He's very, very good.
Listen, if he comes in and he plays a clean game, then... Right. I'll say, you know what? You guys are right. That's what you guys are expecting. I'm expecting another 3-turnover game from Chicago. Because that's what they do every week.
Randy,
he just hates. Hates everyone and everything.
What do you think of Jay Cutler?
I think he's a drunk.
Okay, so why are you arguing with me?
Because I think he's a talented drunk who, when he's on, makes you look silly instead of him look silly.
I know what you think of the player, and you automatically assume he's all of a sudden going to have a good game.
But it's not just
I
him.
I know you think
it's
he stinks.
Matt Forte. I don't think he stinks. I think he's a drunk and he's silly.
He's hot or cold.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think their receivers
night,
are good. Their running back is good. They have a tight end who's decent. I think that could give you problems. Yeah. And I don't know what this defense
but
is going to look
what
like.
What could Chicago give you problems with defensively?
Not much.
Nothing.
Yeah, but so we're just all in on the offense. The offense is back. We don't have hiccups anymore.
I'm not all in on them, but I think this is the kind of team that can't take advantage of any of the things that you do, any of your weaknesses.
That may be.
That's why I'm all in on that game.
Yeah, but you think I'm not
all
in
on the game. I'm more concerned about this Jets game than I am Chicago.
I'm all in on the Patriots.
And I don't think the Jets have a prayer in hell of winning.
Well, I don't really think the Jets have a great chance of winning, but I am worried about last week I looked up in Paul and you know, we still got to do this cannon rotation thing where he's got to play snap
I'm
both sides.
I'm worried about Wilkerson.
And if I
yes,
looked up and said
those guys are good.
Suddenly
who's that on Chicago?
The guys who weren't good enough to play, Devy and Cannon, are now the left side of the offensive
Paul,
line.
Yeah. I worry
against
about
Wilkerson,
the Jets
that worries
because
me.
Of their defense. I worry about Chicago because of their offense. It's a different reason to worry about a team.
Yeah, but their offense that you consider good has a guy who gives the ball away on a consistent basis.
But I've also seen him light it up.
Right.
But even when he lights it up, he's going to give you the ball 2 or 3 times.
I think you got to get
that's what he does.
But can we get pressure on him to make him make those mistakes that you're talking about?
I don't think it has anything to do with pressure. Okay. I think it has to do with he throws the ball to the wrong team 2 or 3 times every game.
You send him a bottle of wine the night before and you're all set.
Randy from Maui, Hawaii, all this criticism of the team, time to criticize the fans. Yeah. I don't know who the announcer was, but said, I haven't heard this place this loud in years. I have to agree with that. I really shouldn't say too much because I can't really be there living 5,000 miles away. But the crowd noise needs to be a factor at every home game, especially against the garbage pail Jets. It shouldn't take the media saying Brady and the Pats are done and washed up to get the fans pumped. During the Bungles game, hearing all the crowd noise, and specifically hearing them chant Brady's name, gave me chicken skin. It was awesome. It pumped up the team and I think made them play even harder. I challenge the fans to create the same atmosphere at every home game. You guys are part of the team, and they need that energy from you. If I could be there, I guarantee I would be going home with a sore throat and no voice every time. That's Randy from Maui, Hawaii.
Woo!
Throwing it down. Throwing it down. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Good afternoon, boys.
What's up?
Albert.
Big win, of course. Quick question. My impression is that I think it's going to be a little bit easier to plug in a running back than it would be to plug in a linebacker. I think we could maybe either go inside, like Fred's talking about, with a guy that he likes, the young kid, or you could sign somebody off of waivers. We got Heath Evans on waivers 1 year, and you know, you can get guys off waivers. But linebacker, what do you think about maybe making a trade And I'm looking at this Paul Posluszny with the Jaguars. Would you like him if we could package together something and pick him up?
Isn't he a guy that's always hurt too? I mean, he started with the Bills. He was a big draft pick and out of Penn State.
I think he's very similar. I think he's very similar to Mayo.
Yeah.
I think he's a tackle machine. I think if I don't know why you have to be so dismissive
can't hold
of
Mayo's
everybody.
Jock.
I think he's a similar. I think he's a similar player.
I think he does the same type of thing with the Jaguars, maybe not as well.
I don't think he's a great player, but he makes a lot of tackles. But
I would get back to your point, Al. I think it's harder to fit a guy in mid-season in your defense and ask him to be your play caller and all that in a different scheme.
Okay.
On the field, sure, I'd add Paul Posluszny to the middle of the defense. I think that would be a good guy to have. But now I guess you could say, okay, well, Hightower is going to be the mic.
Yeah, I think they're better off right now moving Hightower inside.
Yeah,
and
Hightower's
done
it. So Hightower's going to be your play caller. Collins now even has a little experience there. You've lost something. Yes, I'd like to have Posluszny on the depth chart, but he's not going to come in and run the defense. And Skinner. I'm all in on Skinner. Chicken Skinner.
Oh, yeah?
Chicken Skinner winner. Now, huh? I'd never heard that phrase before, chicken skin.
Mm. Steven.
It's all pale.
Steven Kalin, it's like goosebumps. Bumpy,
yeah. No, but chicken skin is also very
it
pale
is very
white
pale,
because they had feathers over them, so
yes.
It's always white.
You're always
don't
white.
Sigh. Steven, don't sigh at me.
Steven Kalin, at this point, I would be ready to trade Browner and Amendola for a hoagie and a super big gulp with an option for a 12-inch sub to be named later. I haven't seen anything from them of note and would rather have at least one Jag that could actually perform. I'm also looking forward to Beetle returning to the postgame show as Andy was smacking poor Scott like he was the kid who lives under the stairs.
That is not true, Paul.
There are only four buttons, Scott. It was funny, but clearly Scott was a bit overmatched.
I did say that.
And it's nice to have Homer Fred back. We'll be fine. Keep up the great work and the schooling of the rest of the Boston media. Wow. Do we school the rest of the Boston media?
Of course.
Yeah?
We teach them.
Check comes from.
Sure.
Oh, I just thought we actually, are more informative.
Well, yeah, but that's also implicitly.
I mean, now, I didn't know that there was an ACL brace on the guy the other night. And I don't know what an ACL brace is. I'm not sure there is such a thing as an ACL brace. Yeah. Paul's got something to bring to the table fresh off the hot takes of Twitter.
Posluszny's been in the league 1 year longer than Mayo. But 110 tackles, 110 tackles, 151, 119, 139, 162. Sacks, 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 1. Interceptions, 2, 3, 2, 3, 1. That's kind of sounds like
Force
Jerome.
Fumbles?
Kind of sounds like Jerome. Well, it doesn't go that far.
But he's not the leader that Mayo is.
How do you know?
Maybe not. I don't know. I said maybe not.
I don't know
what he does.
He wouldn't be on Jacksonville if he was.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
So no good players can play on bad teams.
No. The Bills had him and they let him go.
Okay. What does that have to do with anything?
So now
could have been that good.
So now if we don't re-sign Mayo next year,
where is your logic?
Does he suddenly become not? I mean, if we ask him to take a pay cut next year and he leaves, does
that's
that
not
mean,
why he left.
Okay.
So how do you know so much about Paul Posluszny?
I liked him.
We really
want
him.
College. I really liked him.
Right. Because he was a great leader coming out of Penn State.
I think he is very
similar. He's a very, very productive player in college.
And he's been a very productive player in the pros.
I like middle linebackers.
Okay.
Me too.
So all I said was he's a very similar player in
can't
style
hold, he can't
to
hold
Gerard
Mayo's
Mayo.
Jock. Can't
That's
hold
ridiculous.
His jock. Can't hold his jock.
Why would he want to?
I mean, I'm not a huge Posluszny fan. I think he's a sort of limited tackle machine. But I think he's kind of in the mold of Gerard Mayo. I don't know what his reputation is off the field, if he's considered an inspirational leader in Jacksonville, or was he in Buffalo, or whatever.
Let's go get Vito Stilito on the line.
I mean, 120 tackles basically every year. I mean, he's Mayo.
Just you're going to keep saying he's Mayo, and he's going to keep saying can't hold
Mayo. Can't hold his job.
I've given up.
I'm glad that you finally actually listened to the facts and gave up. It's good.
No, I'm just disinterested. I've lost interest in the
You just don't want you making crap up.
Making crap up? All right. Hey, John,
I think
how you
he
doing?
He believes what he says.
Good friend. But he just made it up. He had no idea
what
he was facing
today,
it on.
Fred?
What's that?
What are you making up today?
I'm just making up that Gerard Mayo's better than Paul Posluszny.
All I said was they were similar players. That's not what Fred said. Fred said that he could not hold Gerard Mayo's job.
That's correct.
And I said they're very similar players. They're tackle machines that don't do a whole lot else.
Oh, come on.
Now, could
they
Gerard...
they make tackles in the running game. They come up with a sack or two every year and maybe an interception every once in a while.
Could Gerard
That's what
Mayo
they are.
Hold Patrick
sounds like
Willis's
you're, sounds like you're undervaluing that poll.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is Posluszny and Mayo are
similar players.
Fred said Posluszny couldn't hold Mayo's job.
Well, I correct.
I looked at the stats. They're very similar stats.
I would say that Posluszny is a little bit lesser version of Mayo. I'd put Mayo on the upper side of that.
Because he's on a good team.
But that's
I don't think he's any better player.
That's part of it, I would say. But I would also argue that Posluszny, at least prior to Sunday, was also a more oft-injured player. Now I'm not so sure.
Well,
yeah, I mean, certainly that's Mayo's also been injured that, a lot.
Yeah, Mayo is the more injured player.
He is now.
No, he was going in. Posluszny missed like 1 year.
He missed an entire year, Posluszny.
An entire year, correct.
Yeah. Mayo, this will be the third time he's missed multiple games in a season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Popeye.
Fine.
I'm just, again.
What? And the point is what?
I just still. I
That Posluszny very, very much, very easily could hold Gerard Mayo's job is the point.
So. Well, anybody could.
Maybe
it's
Mayo's
that hard.
Maybe Mayo's better, but it ain't that much better.
There's like kids that do it in the locker
room for $5 an hour.
And I actually think Al,
this
all started because Al in Valdosta, who I'm sure calls you as well.
Not anymore, he doesn't. He doesn't like me anymore.
Oh, what'd you do? Oh,
he suggested trying to make a trade for Posluszny. And I don't think it was ridiculous, that's all.
No, I don't think, listen, I would take him right now. Because we
think
need,
he's a similar kind of player. I think that would make sense.
I don't think he.
Frankly, I think he would be a more than adequate replacement.
Yeah, well, that. So we agree, John.
Yeah, actually, well, I guess
it's
we
Fred.
Do.
It's Fred who doesn't agree. Couldn't hold his jock.
Couldn't.
I don't know that he. I don't know.
But I would take him because we need somebody there. So, you know, right now we have a.
I don't know what,
his
I don't know what that
status?
Says of Dante Hightower.
Well, he's with Jacksonville.
That's
he's not
I know.
Going
that's,
anywhere. I mean, you'd have to give up quite a bit for him
to get him.
So he couldn't hold Mayo's jock, and yet he would cost a lot in the trade.
Well, why would Jacksonville just hand you their middle linebacker?
If you could get a fourth-round pick for him, why don't? Why
I
wouldn't
think that's
you?
A lot.
A fifth-round pick? Well, if you're Jacksonville, that's
you're
how you rebuild.
You're trying to rebuild a franchise? Paul Posluszny's not going to be around by the time you hopefully get good.
Okay, I'll give him a fifth or
and
fourth.
I don't know even have any idea what that says. If he thinks that would be the best replacement, I don't know what that says of Hightower. He couldn't hold his cleats or jock.
Well, I would rather have Hightower on the outside. Making plays, using it to his athletic ability. Who's the pussy now? Right,
Fred.
Get that right. All right, John. What's up on your show?
Eric Friends, Boston.com, going to join us.
Oh, Friends.
So we're going to have him to dissect and analyze a bit our nitpicks, because even though I know we're working ahead at a faster pace this week with a short week,
right. Thursday.
There are some nitpicks to talk about today.
Okay.
So
actually,
we will have
Friday,
that
isn't
to do.
It? Because Bill said Sunday it was Wednesday, so Monday was Thursday, and
don't mix
today would
up,
be Friday.
Tuesday is Friday. Tomorrow's Saturday.
Freddie, you
pre-game
look like
through
in theory.
Freddie,
yes,
you look like
walk-through.
Conan
yes.
O'Brien right now with your hair.
With my hair,
you see his hair.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien.
Oh yeah, a little
it's
bit.
A good look for you.
John Rook
He's
in the playbook next. Fantasy football's coming up at 4. That's for us.
Fantasy
we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.